go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we go, off and running. It is indeed the 23rd day of September, 2022. It is 9/23/22, and this is The Horn, and HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia, madcap extravaganza that is The Horn chat room. If you show up right now, you'll be greeted by early arrivers Squeaky, Roger in Oregon, Kid Mark, and Irish Dave and Anatole, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator, has in fact folded space to become Man Cave. Hi, I'm Robin, and every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude. This program is no different, and so as a consequence thereof, we thank our 23rd day of the month subscribers, which means we say thank you, most hearty thank you, to our pals at Mellow Moonlit Meadow and Philip in Maryland. Thank you both for being partial sponsors of the program. And where that leaves us, trying desperately to get caught up and fully funded for the month of September, is $1,745. So that means, let's see, today's unfunded, yesterday's unfunded, that's Thursday, Wednesday's unfunded, Tuesday is unfunded, last Wednesday, has $55, last Tuesday has $55 of it funded. So if we can scrape up $55, we can be done with last week, and then we can get started on this week as we head into the final week of the final full broadcast week of September. God, October's going to be here before we know it, and oh dear. Yeah, this morning we had to go out, and Annette had an appointment, and it was 46 degrees by 9 o'clock this morning. So, ugh. Let the freezing begin. Yuck. But I'm being a bit of a bitch about things. I apologize. Now, it is Friday on the front porch, which means that in about an hour or so, we will gather together over the river and through the woods in the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves, wherein we do join together in the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable. And new voices are always welcome. And you can get there via the link at the top of the page at headon.live. So, come on by. The conversation is fine. Ralph says, I'm contributing $25 and I'll add $25 more if $25 is raised. So that would get done with last Tuesday's fundraising and get us started on this past No, this is right. Yeah, we only had 4 days this week. 12. No, so that'll finish last two Fridays ago's fundraising. Oh dear, it's worse than I thought. Stand by, please. Where was I? It's hard to get a program started when people constantly interrupt you, but oh well. I had a note from Ron and Raleigh to get us started. Ignorance and stupidity. While listening to an online talk show, a self-proclaimed Republican called in to complain that Democrats and the mainstream media aren't paying any attention to all the illegal immigrants flooding across the border until Ron Monkey Up DeClantis and Greg Asbot started sending them up north. It appears that the caller doesn't know the difference between illegal immigration and asylum seekers. I believe that to him and others like him, anyone with brown skin from south of the border has no right to come north. The caller doesn't understand our immigration laws because the orange buffoon has so muddied the water with stay in Mexico and the wall that people have no rights. We're becoming an increasingly stupid and ignorant country. It's only going to get worse. I take it you watched Lauren Boebert give a sermon. Well, yes, I did, and with much the same fascination that I assigned to, hi, Scott, watching a monkey work a math problem. Yeah. Now, the whole DeClantis thing unfolded while I was in Atlanta, and there were a couple of activists from down in Florida, and, you know, we're talking about people who have a deep and broad and rich understanding of the nature of right-wing politics. And Florida politics in particular, and said that DeClantis really has f***ed up on this one because, among other things, he sent Venezuelan asylum seekers, you know, people fleeing from the tyrannical dictatorial regime in Venezuela, and sent them to Martha's Vineyard. Well, he certainly sent them to nicer people. There's no getting around that. But they were here legally, and they were seeking asylum. And never mind, because I guess not Cuban. I don't know. But that other part of it, Ron, we talked about on this program a couple of days ago. When you're talking about Republicans, every person who speaks Spanish as their mother tongue and isn't from Spain is a Mexican. You want a Coke? Yeah, what kind? Sprite? You want Coke? Yeah, what kind? Pepsi? Well, they're a Mexican. What kind? Venezuelan. Well, they're a Mexican. What kind? Guatemalan. Well, they're a Mexican. What kind? El Salvadoran. But everybody's a Mexican. Because these people are bloody, hateful, shitty, asshole fools. Dumber than a handful of hammer handles. So Ron, you're not wrong. As to bobblehead, Lauren Bobblehead Boebert's sermon, for the record, Stephen New York says, I think chicken fried rice violence is a much bigger problem. When will it end? So that's just a starting point for us. In point of fact, it's kind of interesting because folks got their hands on, and Slate had the story, got the pamphlet that Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis gave to people to entice them to get on the plane to Martha's Vineyard. 50 people, you know by now, transported from San Antonio to Martha's Vineyard. And the 50 people hailed from Colombia and, as noted, Venezuela. And there's a huge Venezuelan population in South Florida who are now, the naturalized ones were kind of inclined to vote Republican the same way that the Cubanos do. But they're pissed now, because they understood that these were people trying to get away from oppression in Venezuela the same way that many of them had. The pamphlet shows, it reads on one end in English, Massachusetts refugee benefits. On the other side, Massachusetts beneficios para refugiados. My Spanish sucks, but I'm trying. And it lists community services and churches. There's a telephone number, you know, in Massachusetts. A map that shows where Martha's Vineyard is. And, of course, there was the most cynical assumption made, and that is that the Tony Vacationers at Martha's Vineyard would not take kindly to have a bunch of what Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis and Greg Asbot thought were Mexicans. And so it turns out they were not poorly received. People there in Massachusetts began marshaling food and aid. And doing the best and doing as best they could for these people reduced to being sad political pawns of a vicious fascist POS, or two of them. And as the Slate article notes, the question remains open as to whether or not Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis's maladministration broke the law when it harangued people into getting on the plane. And it may be evidence of the fact that this was a planned event, and they used interest off of COVID funds. This is interesting. Federal monies that were sent to the state of Florida that kept gathering interest, because it was a whopping big load of money, and they used the interest from these funds to charter the planes, etc., etc. There's only one problem. That interest may not have been Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis's to spend. At least, not this way. Lawyers for Civil Rights took a run at the brochure. And said that they're providing legal support to the people who got bounced and arguably illegally transported, who were shanghaied is actually the term that was developed in the Pacific Northwest at the time. Among other things, it shows something that appears to be a state flag, but it's not the state flag of Massachusetts. It's a flower inside a shield with six stars around it. No. It's just such a vicious piece of garbage. They copied text from the Massachusetts Office for Refugees and Immigrants website, promising cash assistance, assistance with housing, and other benefits that Massachusetts does provide, but it has to be for people who have already been identified as refugees by the United Nations and have been formally accepted into the U.S. for resettlement. The people on the plane have applied for asylum. They have not yet received it. And so there was what's called fraud in the inducement for people to get on the plane, because the benefits weren't there. They weren't eligible for them. It was kidnapping by trick, I guess you could say. And there's some suspicion, according to Josh Marshall at Talking Points Memo, that Monkey Up may have been, he may have just turned it all over to a right-wing maggot organization. And, of course, the spokes creep for Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis said, well, it ain't fraudulent. The pamphlet ain't fraudulent because it doesn't come from a real, live, honest-to-goodness Massachusetts website. And, of course, they've gone on to threaten to send another plane load of migrants to Delaware. Yeah. Thanks so much to Henry. Thank you, Henry. Henry just answered Ralph's challenge, so that means that we are actually $100 into fundraising for the evening. Thank you. Thank you so much, Henry. That's a great start for this Friday on the front porch, and we'll get so that gets us down to 16:45, and with any luck at all, maybe we'll get done with fundraising for two weeks ago and get into, we've only got 2 days of last week to fund, and then the 4 days of this week, so fingers crossed. I found out the hard way that my inspection sticker and, lo and behold, my registration had come due. And that was all taken care of today. That was just glad to have it done for another year. Randy Radar says the real term for what happened to the migrants, the asylum seekers in Texas, was that it was kidnapping by inveiglement. And they have to be flown back to Texas anyway to have their court dates. God, these evil pricks. Sorry. Thank you, Matt, in San Francisco. Florida migrant moving company gave GOP cash, has ties to DeKlantis' immigration czar and Representative Matt Gaetz. Matt Gaetz. We'll get into Matt Gaetz, I'm sure, at some point during the process. But the immigrant hustle came from Vertol Systems. They've dumped shit tons of money on maggot candidates. And at one point in time, counsel for them, and you thought counsel for a parking garage was bad, counsel for Vertol Systems was at one point in time Matt It Just Gaetz Worse and his former law partner, who is now employed by Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis. Now, the Florida government, even though there is a sunshine law in the state of Florida, refuses to give up the contract that they signed with Vertol Systems Company, Inc., for some $12 million. And they've been all... No, we ain't got no comment about the $1.6 million they spent sending asylum seekers to sanctuary cities. It's the only known case of them relocating migrants. 50 destitute asylum-seeking Venezuelan immigrants in San Antonio. They got $615,000, gave them food and at least one night in a hotel, and then zipped them away to Martha's Vineyard. All this because they say there's no southern border anymore. Of course, never mind. There really and for truly is. So just more MAGA grift. Speaking of MAGA grift, things are going poorly in front of Special Master Deary, who has ordered Nitwit Nero to pay a special master or an assistant special master that Deary hired, a retired magistrate, and he went so far as to put a stipulation in the order saying that Nitwit Nero has to pay up at $500 an hour within 7 days of receipt of an invoice from the aforementioned assistant. Because I guess former federal Judge Deary knows that Nitwit Nero is a complicated legal term here. Deadbeat! Back to the migrant plane issue, the sheriff of Bexar County, Texas, where San Antonio is located, says that, yes, he's got an investigation going into whether the asylum seekers were lured onto the plane by false pretenses. Maybe hopefully there can be a charge or an indictment even. I mentioned Matt Gaetz, son of a... Now, on only the flimsiest of evidence, a few months back, the U.S. attorney in Florida indicted Andrew Gillum, the man who actually ran against Ron Monkey Up DeClantis and very nearly beat him. You know, and DeClantis only won with the assistance of real live, no kidding, Nazis who put out robocalls, racist, incredibly racist robocalls, in support of the DeClantis campaign. So everybody who cast a vote for Ron Monkey Up DeClantis, this is just a fact, voted alongside Nazis, Klansmen, skinheads, maybe Oath Keepers, Free Percenters, Proud Boys, Boogaloo Incel Tactical Command Headquarters Executive Staff. But they managed to indict a ham sandwich in the case of Andrew Gillum. But word came out today that no, there will be no indictment. Or any sort of formal charge against Matt, it just gets Gaetz worse. It's, in a word, sickening. And to the best of my knowledge, the decision was made because, well, I guess the Department of Justice got all crawly because there would be some testimony from, you know, sex worker. And sex workers are deemed, I suppose, to be inherently untrustworthy. Career prosecutors recommend against charging against Gates with sex trafficking a minor. One, he was under investigation for way more than that. What the fuck with your no overt shit within 60 days of an election? And what do the experts sent from D.C. have to say? The Washington Post had the story today. And to say the very least, yeah, it's disgusting. So I guess the little fucker's gonna walk. And more is the pity. Going back to the Martha's Vineyard case. What we have here, Ron and Raleigh says, is inveiglement using enticements and promises of goods and profits. Given the fact that they got Matt Gaetz dead to rights, paying the sex worker, the underage sex worker, making him a sex trafficker of underage persons, maybe there'll be, but it seems like there's a dog in the manger, as it were, inside the U.S. Attorney's office, maybe in Florida. Gotta wonder how Merrick Garland feels about giving a sex trafficker a pass. Maybe somebody needs to ask him that at a press conference if he ever has another one. Well, dadgummit, it's at the age of 72, an original founder of the Doobie Brothers, John Hartman, has died. The Doobie Brothers was founded in San Jose, California, in 1970, and they were a straight ahead, awesome rock and roll band. And then along came Michael McDonald and turned them into a cool jazz band.
Minute by minute. Yeah, keep holding on.
Sorry, that's my terrible Michael McDonald impression. No singing. We've got $1,645 to raise here. Then, sorry about that. And by the way, when we talk about immigrants, it's worth noting that somebody down in Florida did some genealogical research. Turns out that DeSantis is not an old Cherokee word meaning ugly little piss ant. No, it's Italian. And in fact, his great-grandparents came to America destitute, penniless, and probably under modern immigration status would have been turned away. But they got in, and now, three generations later, Ron Monkey Up Duclantis has forgotten that he's not, you know, Choctaw. Yes, inveiglement, defined as being deceit, Flavio tells us, comes from Anglo-French envolé, Anglo-French, to French avoué, to blind, in other words, hoodwinking. She inveigled me with her charms. That actually sounds kind of fun, but not in this case. Jack and Shreveport, Doobie Brothers. Malloy knows one of the Doobies, I think the lead singer. I hope it's not Michael McDonald. Oh, well. The program is young, and we've got such a long way to go. Such a long way to go.
Such a long way to go.
Okay, no more of that. Stop that, Robin. Just stop it right this very instant. But with Flavio writing in, I thought I would share some audio with you. Because the folks at The Juice Media are out with a new Honest Government ad. And it bears playing. Because in this case, it's Visit Brazil. Yes. So it's a long distance dedication going out to Flavio. Get Don on the phone. Where are those pictures I was supposed to see?
Visit Brazil, home to shit tons of vanishing wonders. The Amazon, indigenous lands, publicly owned utilities, democracy. It's also home to a variety of poisonous parasites. Come to Brazil. Hello, I'm from the Brazilian government. With a message to the world as we prepare to have a coup. I mean election. To decide if this little shit goblin should run the country for another 4 years.
Bolsonaro.
The past 4 years have been great. It's just a little flu, bro. Policy got a shit ton of us killed. The pandemic's second highest death toll. More than half the nation faces food insecurity. Some are scavenging for bones in bins, and shitloads are homeless. But hey, look on the bright side. This family managed to buy over 100 homes, half of them in cash. Are we corrupt as fuck? Good question. And thanks to our secrecy laws, you get the answer in approximately 100 years. Cool and normal. But one of our greatest achievements has been to fuck the Amazon to the very brink of collapse. Visit the Amazon, home to shit tons of biodiversity and one of the planet's biggest carbon sinks. Well, it was. Now, it's a net emitter of carbon, thanks to us. That's because we gutted our environmental agencies to help illegal loggers and miners burn and loot the forest. We let land grabbers murder the indigenous peoples who are fighting to protect what's left of it, and helped our agribusiness mates clear the forest to grow soy and beef so they can keep making the ginseng. What's that? At least they're helping to feed all those hungry Brazilians? Oh, honey. Most of that beef and soy is exported for profit. Hungry Brazilians can go eat a bag of dicks. Agro é toco. Agro é população faminta. Agro é shitfuckery. Because of the shitfuckery, our scientists revealed that deforestation and fires in the Amazon have surged under us, which shocked much of the world. So of course we reacted maturely by pretending the fires are not happening and sacking the head of our own science agency. We also told the world to fuck off, because the Amazon is ours. And by ours, we don't mean it belongs to Brazilians, but to our agro boys. Visit our Amazon and watch billionaires trigger one of the 9 tipping points threatening to end human civilization on the planet. Because scientists say, once we lose 25% of the Amazon, the hydrological cycle that keeps the rainforest alive will weaken to the point that it can no longer regenerate, thereby releasing the cubic fuck ton of carbon it stores into the atmosphere. And since scientists have just announced that we've now lost 26% of the rainforest, we're pretty sure the Amazon won't survive another 4 years of this. Which is why you might want to keep an eye on our coming election, given that the outcome could fuck not just Brazilians, but also most of humanity. Brazilian government. We're going to get us all killed. Oh, and if we lose the election, we'll say it was rigged. Cool and normal. And if that happens, we hope our imperial masters can come and help us end democracy here, just like they did all those other times in Latin America. We promise to privatize everything. Elon, CIA, please come to Brazil. Authorized by the Department for Making Brazil 64 Again.
God, they're good. And after now that they've branched out, and of course everything they say about the current state of Brazil is pretty much on point. And that 25%, 26% number, that's terrifying. And Flavio reminds us, it's not just the sex workers' credibility in the Gates case. Greenberg, friend of Gates, in on the trafficking, his wingman, has been providing investigators information about Gates since last year, according to a person familiar with the matter. Greenberg's credibility would be a significant challenge for any prosecution of Gates, in part because one of the crimes Greenberg admitted to was fabricating allegations against a schoolteacher who was running against him to be a tax collector. Greenberg had sent letters to the school falsely claiming the teacher had an inappropriate sexual relationship with a student, a similar allegation to the Gates case. Anything they can hang their hat on, I suppose. Okay, yeah. Dave number 11. Get off Steely Dan member Michael McDonald's neck. Wasn't his fault Walter couldn't tour anymore. Taking it to the streets with the Greatest Doobie album. As long as you didn't say it was living on the fault line, I think we can still be friends. I just like the earlier stuff. The edgier stuff. Yeah, and you're right. Michael McDonald is there to be heard in any number of Steely Dan tracks as well. And, of course, Christopher Cross. Such a long way to go. Right. So that's pretty much a starting place for where the program is going this evening. A preliminary report is out from the United Nations, and it is horrifying. A United Nations investigation team has concluded that Mother Russia committed war crimes in Ukraine. Among the other things that have been uncovered thus far, bombings of civilian areas, numerous executions, torture, horrific sexual violence. I'm trying to figure out what kind of sexual violence isn't horrific. And the report notes that UN investigators have put their own lives at hazard to gather this information. Eric Mose, speaking a day before the seven-month anniversary of Putin's war against the innocent people of Ukraine, said, based on the evidence gathered by the Commission of Inquiry on Ukraine, it has concluded that war crimes have been committed. They visited 27 towns and settlements. They examined graves and detention and torture centers, interviewed more than 150 victims and witnesses, and met with advocacy groups and government officials. And they were especially struck by the large number of executions in the areas visited and saw visible signs of executions on bodies like hands tied behind backs, gunshot wounds to the head, and slit throats. They're investigating deaths in 16 towns and settlements. They'd received credible allegations regarding a lot more cases, and they will seek to document those as well. There are consistent accounts of ill treatment and torture, which were carried out during unlawful confinement. In Buka, Hostomel, and Brodianka, those towns were occupied for about a month by the proud sons of Mother Russia, you know, the dead-enders and hard cases and ne'er-do-wells and released prisoners and that constitute the Special Operations Force. They've been volunteers have been exhuming bodies to gather evidence. Forensic doctors have been documenting it. Some of the people who survived told investigators they were forcibly transferred to Mother Russia and held for weeks in prisons there. Then there were those who were disappeared. Quote, interlocutors described beatings, electric shocks, and forced nudity, as well as other types of violations in such detention facilities. The working group has processed two incidents of ill treatment against Russian Federation soldiers by Ukrainian forces. Two. You crow-Nazis! No. There are also examples of cases where relatives were forced to witness the crimes. In the cases we have investigated, the age of victims of sexual and gender-based violence ranged from 4 to 82 years. Somebody tell the Republicans about the groomers. Pootie's groomers. Oh, no, I'm guessing Q is silent on all of this. Investigator Mose in the report also said the Russian Federation's use of explosive weapons with wide area effects in populated areas was a source of immense harm and suffering for civilians. And the attacks perpetrated by Mother Russia had been carried out without distinguishing between civilians and combatants. They used cluster munitions, banned by most of the world under a 2008 treaty on civilian populations. And they're also the Russian troops are accused of using illegal weapons that have killed hundreds of civilians, unguided bombs in populated areas that have destroyed at least 8 civilian buildings. The cluster munitions were released in areas where there was no military presence. In the recently recaptured city of Izium, Ukrainian authorities have announced that they have exhumed about 436 bodies from a mass grave. At least 30 of those showed signs of torture. And somehow or another, the pro-Russia propaganda is still on the air here because freedom, so that people like Alex Jones can bark and grunt about it. Will there be any but the question is, will there be any reckoning? If this thing can ever be brought to an end, will there be any kind of, I don't know, money damages compelled against Mother Russia? I really want to believe the stories about Pootie and his aggressive cancer. I thought you'd like that, Flavio. Flavio said the Juice Media Honest Government ad about Brazil is spot on. They're always spot on. They do their research. Without a doubt. I'm not sure. I kind of wondered about that when I read about the anti-cluster munitions thing, too, Randy. Randy Radar says, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think the U.S. is a current signatory either to the anti-cluster munitions treaty. Somebody needs to, in the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department, needs to jump on that while we move on to other stories. Here's one that gave me the creeps. Via the Hill, which can be kind of sketchy from time to time, writing, Republicans are experiencing a jolt of optimism in Georgia's hotly contested Senate race amid signs that their candidate, former football star Herschel Walker, is starting to close the gap with Senator Warnock. Noting the polls in Georgia have shown a race that's largely tightening. Insider Advantage Fox 5 Atlanta poll released earlier this month said Walker had a 3-point lead over Warnock as compared to July when Warnock led by 3. Chuck Clay, a former state senator and Georgia GOP chair, said,
"I think you're seeing the professionalization of Herschel as a candidate. He is who he is. His early on statements that were kind of goofy or off the wall, but never malicious or mean-spirited."
Don't we? We have too many trees. That's not mean-spirited.
Have sort of been brought under control. They focused him.
And this from Gail Gitcho, who used to work for Bishop Willard in his 2012 presidential campaign disaster, in which he got righteously thumped, said,
"Well, they've focused him, and he's also trained himself to be more focused, to be less loquacious, and I think it's showing."
Oh, God. So I guess maybe some of that $9.6 million that got pulled out of Arizona might be going to Georgia. And they are resorting to some typically nasty smears. Rick Skeletor Scott of Florida said,
"I think we're going to get 52 seats in the Senate. I think Herschel Walker is going to win."
This is Rick Skeletor Scott, who wants to starve Granny. And after his complaint about the quality of candidates, now I guess Moscow Mitch has received enough grief that he has seen the handwriting on the wall. He was due to host a fundraiser for Herschel this week, the second such fundraiser in less than a month. Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, well, and son of the man that Nitwit Nero accused of having a hand in the assassination of John Kennedy, he zipped over to Georgia last month. And the Senate and the Republicans generally are doing what they always do, closing ranks. It doesn't matter how bad or how awful or vicious or vulgar the candidate is, they will rally around him. Jay Williams, a Georgia Republican strategist, said,
"People are really frustrated by Biden. They're really frustrated by the economy. It's a much more nationalized election, and I think people in Georgia are going to swing Republican."
You know, swinging Republican just kind of sounds dirty and nasty and kinky and... It's like that old the old gag that the difference between kinky and perverted is kinky you tickle your partner with a feather, perverted you use the entire chicken. Well, this is the entire chicken party. Just try to imagine having to say Senator Herschel Walker. Oh, for sake, right? And here's another one of those moments The story comes from Reuters, and I'm always leery of headlines that say somebody suggested something. President Biden attended a National Democratic Committee rally and suggested, again, the language from the Reuters story, that if we can pick up a net two senators, we can do something about the filibuster and enshrine women's rights to bodily autonomy in a statute by ditching the filibuster specifically and solely for that purpose. President Biden saying, if you give me two more senators in the United States Senate, I promise you, we're going to codify Roe and once again make Roe the law of the land. I don't believe the MAGA Republicans have a clue about the power of American women. Let me tell you something. They're about to find out. From your mouth to God's ear, President Biden. But there was nothing in there about the filibuster. Hence the use of suggested. The J6 committee's efforts to pursue phone records continues. A federal judge has said, U.S. District Judge Diane Humatewa issued an 18-page ruling and said that 3-month period is plainly relevant to its investigation into the causes of the January 6th attack. The court therefore has little doubt concluding these records may aid the Select Committee's valid legislative purpose, indicating a potential willingness to order Kelly Ward to turn over her phone records. She's the chair of the Arizona Republican Party, Kelly Ward, and may have been up to her eyeballs in the whole false electors debacle in Arizona. No word yet on whether she will appeal. I'm guessing the answer to that is yes. She says that the J6 committee seeking her phone records is a violation of her constitutional rights. I hope it can be resolved in favor of the people of the United States. Now, there's something to... This will be ridden like a borrowed mule. Rotten day on Wall Street. But not just Wall Street, around the globe, as the Dow Jones Industrial Average dumped 1.6% of its value, closed at the lowest level since late 2020. The S&P 500 dropped 1.7%. Not quite surpassing the low it set in mid-June of 2022. NASDAQ dropped 1.8%. It was a sell-off. Energy prices, the story says, closed sharply lower. Previously, the European stock markets had nosedived as well. And then we will hear about this ad nauseam. Crude oil prices for U.S. crude dropped 5.7% because the general worry is that there is a weakening of the worldwide energy market. Well, you know, having the entire global population turned upside down and the money shaken out of our pockets to increase oil company revenues, it's not exactly surprising now, is it? But expect this to be breathlessly reported over the next few days. As I mentioned in the program yesterday, Republicans are still having a shit hemorrhage about Stacey Abrams telling the truth about fetal heartbeats. Here's something that one hopes catches on. This from Salon and Catherine Joyce. One of the key organizers of the Stop the Steal riot that led up to the terrorist attack on January 6th, a guy named Ali Alexander is complaining and pissing and moaning, saying that the GOP hasn't sufficiently kissed his group's ass, and is now talking about how maybe Republicans might be better off strategically losing rather than a win that cannot be sustained. Now, Ali Alexander is not alone in this. White nationalist Nazi leader Nick Fuentes and self-confessed virgin and self-confessed person who thinks that men having sex with women is gay. I wish I was kidding. I am not. Laura Looney, who lost a race in a primary race in Florida, refuses to concede. She said, "I'm not going to concede because I'm a winner." Sure, Jan. But she said, "I encourage all of my supporters and all of my voters to not support Daniel Webster and the establishment RNC and big tech voter fraud machine that is propping his feeble body up and depriving my constituents of the representation they deserve and need. So by all means, listen, y'all, Republicans, if you, any lurkers, yeah, don't vote. You show those damned mainstream Republicans what for? And then this, folks." Folks out in Oregon, would you tell me where Medford, Oregon is? Because this story comes out of Medford, Oregon. It's apparently the largest school district in southern Oregon, serving 14,000 students. But there is a bunch of barking and grunting and hooting going on by a bunch of freaks who don't even have kids in Oregon, or don't even have kids in Oregon schools or the Medford School District. No, they're having a conniption over a teacher. A perfectly qualified individual was recently hired to teach first graders at Griffin Creek Elementary School in Medford, Oregon. And the barkers and the grunters and the hooters, the homophobes and the transphobes and the omniphobes, are now having a shit fit because the teacher is non-binary. They are a they, them. And so, let's see. A Medford resident by the name of Tanner Farrington said, he doesn't send his kids to public schools, and that preferred pronouns and gender identity were not appropriate for first graders, and who said that would be taught. Farrington said,
"It naturally raises questions and encourages questions on the topic, and many parents want these conversations to be had at home and not at school. My wife and I want our children to attend traditional public school, and issues like this are why they do not. If children are being asked to use preferred pronouns, are they also being informed that they have a right under the First Amendment to not use preferred pronouns?"
So, look out, Medford, Oregon. The mouth walkers and the knuckle breathers are among you. And even though they don't have kids in school, they're going to demand that you listen to them because they got a First Amendment right. And so all across the country, non-binary and trans school teachers are being attacked. At the Magen David Yeshiva in Brooklyn, Talia Avrahami, who taught 8th grade social studies, well, she quit. She was on the job for precisely 1 week before a shit storm of harassment was unleashed against her. And Orthodox Jewish groups barked and grunted and hooted. She and her family were doxxed on WhatsApp, and the Orthodox community uses WhatsApp a lot. Southwest part of the state, so it's not over there in that eastern, well, thank you, Lee, thank you. I for the life of me, I don't get this. You want your kid to be taught by a professionally trained educator, but not these creeps. I guess because Jeebus, or, I don't know, in the Brooklyn case, Moses. Yeah. Something like that. Jude tells me Medford, Oregon is close to the California state line, about 400 miles to the south of her. Thank you, Jude. This is just so sad. And, being right-wingers, they will not keep their opinions to themselves. They feel like they have some sort of anointed right to bark out their hatred anywhere they feel comfortable doing so. I experienced some of that last night. It's very upsetting. You all know that, I've mentioned the little pub called Maggie's. I love it dearly because my friends are always there. So I went out to run an errand last night after the program and saw that there were a bunch of cars in the parking lot, so I just swung in to say hi. Literally, just to say hi. went out and sat on the deck and talked with some of my pals. And then came in and stood at the bar to pay for my Coke. And as I waited, this big old hulking lummox of an individual, no neck, head like a cinder block, not a local, a tourist, started staring at me. I looked back. Literally, I looked back behind me to see what he was staring at. Then I looked back. Oh, he's staring at me. And he wouldn't turn away. I guess he was trying to stare me down or something. I don't know. Had a beer. He was sitting at the bar and kept staring and staring and staring. I don't know how drunk he was. I think I would prefer that he was shit-faced as opposed to something close to sober. Because eventually, and there was, and you know what it looks like. There was nothing but pure, unadulterated hate in his eyes. Bloody hate. Like he was, I don't know, trying to cut me to pieces with his gaze. And he finally swiveled that great big hunk of skull up and squared up at the bar and looked at me and said, "What the fuck is wrong with you?" And I just looked at him and said, "Absolutely nothing." And his eyes got wider. And they flashed. He's wearing a black t-shirt with red lettering on it and a skull on the back. He'd come here to whitewater raft the Gauley River because it's Gauley season. And I was feeling like, some shit might be happening. It was a sickening sensation. At which point the bartender said, "Leave her alone." And said, "That's it. You're out of here." And he continued to sit. "I mean it. You're out. You're gone. Go. Get. Leave." Then he got up from the bar and bartender walked over and said, "Give me the beer too." And he kind of held on to it for a minute, like, I don't know, like it was his binky. And finally, she took it out of his hands. You know, this is one of those things where something goes on for like 30 seconds and it feels like a year and a half. And he circled back around to the corner of the bar where he was. There was a straight line between him and me, and kept staring at me. He said, "I'm leaving. I'm leaving." And the proprietor came out and said, "Yes, you are. Now, go." And began escorting him to the door. Finally got him out of the door. I got ready. I was leaving anyway. It was just a drive-by. Just, "Hey, y'all, how you doing?" And he said, "No, wait." Looked out in the parking lot. And they were still standing out in the parking lot, barking and grunting at each other. And then they crossed across the road. I guess they'd had dinner at Fire Creek Steaks. And the big old guy with the cinder block head got in a little Robin's Egg Blue Fiat. I don't know how they did that with him without a, you know, shoehorn or something. I got in my car. The guys stood around, made sure nobody came near me. And, then waited in the parking lot some more while they drove away. Gave them a few minutes so there wouldn't be an ambush. And it was a horrifying situation. Terrifying situation. I don't get that very often. Very little indeed. I've led a very much charmed existence during my transition. But I guess you're going to have that. I mean, I wonder what he was hoping to do. It reminded me of the trans panic defense.
Well, I had to kill her. Because I found out she was...
I mean, there have been people murdered in this country just for being alive and who they are. One guy got off on a trans panic defense for murdering a girl that he just happened to see on the street. And the jury said, well, okay, we would have too. Her very existence was somehow deemed an existential threat to the murderer. Well, that's very sweet of you to say, Brother Deacon Asa, but I'm pretty sure that's not the case, because there was never any... Brother Deacon Asa says, maybe it wasn't hate, maybe he just wanted to get with you. I know, murder hornets. Lots and lots of murder hornets. No, I'm pretty sure, it was just pure hate. Clarification, Ron and Raleigh says, what kind of Fiat? Don't see many of those these days. Oh, you know, the little tiny ones that you can buy at a Chrysler dealership. Steve in New York says, the guy in Maggie's, did he have the Only God Can Judge Me tattoo on the back of his neck? None, as far as I... Well, really, when it comes right down to it, he didn't have a neck. It was just jaw and shoulders. Looked like the kind of guy who might have been roided out of his mind. By the way, Steve, hate to do this to you, but turns out he and his buddies were from the Buckeye State. And everybody there was absolutely disgusted and incensed. It'd be interesting to see if he tries to come back in. I don't think he'll be successful. Scott, the re-stary entices guy. So he didn't want to dance, I guess?
Mind if we dance with your dates?
No, and... there wasn't exactly dance music. Jesus, yeah. Thank you, Ralph. Ralph says, good on the bartender and your friends. Oh, it was, that part of it was uplifting. It's kind of beautiful. It's just a damn shame that it was necessary. So the young non-binary in Medford, Oregon must certainly be terrified. And there is a nationwide campaign against LGBTQ plus teachers. And eventually, they're going to start killing people. No, eventually they'll just kill more people. Jesus. Yep. Flavio says, Cinder Blockhead. Most of the bars will not tolerate that, and most would have thrown the blockhead out on his ass. Lots of LGBTQ plus people in La Crosse. I guess Cinder Blockhead had never seen a trans woman? I mean, I wasn't wearing a tutu or anything. It was just a, you know, pair of leg. Jesus, wait a minute. Look at that. I'm doing the what was she wearing thing to myself. Talk about internalized transphobia. Glad I've got a therapy appointment on Monday. Ron, it was a 500, wasn't it? I think that's, yeah, that sounds, yeah. I think Cinder Blockhead probably could have swallowed it in two bites. So, there's that. Well, listen, I have over-filibustered. We have $1,645 to go in fundraising. It would be helpful if we could knock that down considerably. And let's run over to the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves and check in with space-folding third-stage guild navigator Sparky, because you have folded space into the man cave, correct?
Correct.
Yay.
Got my bell back.
Hot damn.
And I've got the sledgehammer of death.
Oh, is that for when Brain shows up in the chat room?
I'm not in there now, so.
Don't say that out loud.
Well, we take care of him if he comes in. He's getting a little timid. He doesn't stay for very long. He just comes in, looks around.
Trying to see how long he lasts.
Yeah. See if I'm awake or Steve's awake. Anyway, I got a story for you if you want to hear it.
Okay.
Has to do with the pictures I posted in the chat. Last night, Grady decides he wants to go outside. It's about midnight. The guy go to let him out the sliding glass door. All of a sudden, the motion sensor light comes on at the rock shop. I don't see what set it off, but he must have saw it. As soon as I opened the sliding glass door, he took off like a shot towards the end of the rock shop, which is on the southern end of the man cave. I just thought, nah, chase it off. So I go back and lay down when I'm watching TV, and all of a sudden I hear this barking out there. When he barks at night like that, I know, oh shit, he's cornered something. So I go out and I posted a picture of the white pipe that comes out of the rock shop. It is a part of the dust collector system, and it sucks it out of the rock shop. And my dad used to carve gourds and stuff. He made a lot of dust and sand them and stuff. Suck all the particles out through this pipe and checked it outside. But old swamp cooler fan motor. Just put the intake of the swamp cooler fan up against the 8-inch pipe, then it creates a suction up the pipe where he was sitting, and there's a picture of the hole in the shop. It has a grate on it. But whatever he was chasing went up that pipe. He couldn't get it out because of that screen. By going in the rock shop, I shine a light down that hole, and all I see is a big ball of hair in there. It looks like raccoon hair. I said, went out, drug Grady off so the raccoon would get out of the pipe and go do his thing. But he hours after that wanted to get back out here. So it's end of summer time. The coons raccoons are coming out, I guess, to get the harvest from my neighbor's orchard or whatever else he's growing up there. He's got a good well. That's my story for this week.
Well, and do be careful, because as delightful as they can be to watch, they can carry rabies.
Left won't come back. Usually he just trees them really quick. Sometimes they go up the redwood tree. I don't know why it didn't go up the redwood tree. Could have been a possum too. I don't know.
Well, if it, yeah, possums tend to run more gray to white, and don't. I'm guessing your diagnosis is probably correct.
Notice the creek bed. Not too far from us. Did have some rain last weekend. Believe it or not, we had 3 days of off and on rain. Not a lot. Enough to make all the ground out here start turning green again out in the back lot. Cooled way down. Today's the hottest day of the week. Gone over a week without using air conditioning.
Oh, it was. It felt downright frigid when we left for the appointment this morning at 9. 46 degrees. And it's like, wow, summer ended precipitously.
We're still in the summer. Our summer doesn't end until October. Fall last third of December.
And then you'll have like 2 months of winter, what, in February?
Yeah. Well, December, end of December, January, maybe February. I've seen the orchard start blooming first part of February. And we've had 80 degree days in January. Ranchers coming along. You've got the field plowed up. They're getting ready to plant that orchard.
The plum trees?
Yes. He was out there with a cat last week. I don't know, six or something like that. Some kind of ground pepper.
So the cattle are all gone?
Yeah, he's out of the cattle business.
Wow.
Out into the prune business.
I don't know if there's anything you can do about it. I've got audio cranked on my end. You're really low, Sparky, and other people are noting it as well.
How's this?
Might be better. Keep talking.
No. Well, the plum orchards were harvested a couple of weeks ago. Anything?
Yeah, you are better. You're definitely better.
Jeremy's telling me. Right,
yeah. Better. Yeah, Jeremy said that, yeah, and Scott pointed it out as well.
microphone towards me.
Yeah, Annette just came back and turned off the air conditioner for me, so I'm not roaring in the background either.
I got a fan going. I don't know if you can hear it.
Only faintly.
Okay. Supposed to get up to 90 today.
Yep. Thanks, Roger in Oregon. That looks like the Fiat, only it was Robin's Egg Blue. I don't know how that thing got all the way from the Buckeye State over to here. No, I'm kidding. But with that dude's bulk in it, I'm guessing that little four banger was probably laboring, to say the least. Jeremy, you're being awful early. Wait, did Duncan just admit he has an only fan? Ah! Stop that. I haven't even opened one of those yet.
He just knows about my other life, Chaser.
Oh, okay.
I'm down to only chatting with four.
Only four.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's still play in the field. Good on you. Never give up.
I've gone through over 50 online since November.
Does that include the catfish?
Yeah, all the catfish. The ones that use the porn star pictures.
Oh. Wow.
I personally think you should tell Robin about Allison learning to speak British.
Wait, what?
Go ahead, tell her, Sparky.
Evidently, one of the catfish she was talking to, we figured out she's a catfish for multiple reasons, but one day started talking to her, she started speaking in a British accent.
How do you tell?
And she said she was learning to speak, she's taking a class to learn to speak English in Britain.
Oh, well, I love it.
No, like, she needed to learn language, she couldn't speak it.
Oh!
Not that she was learning the accent. She was learning.
Hey, I thought she was just learning to. I thought she was just learning to speak all posh like the Riles.
No.
Isn't that called received English? Or there's
yes. It is received English.
Yes. Now, was she from the website?
I don't have to tell the story now that Scott's here.
But was she from the website A Mess O' Catfish?
Stop it, Scott. That, you're not even getting a gunner for that one.
No, I don't deserve a gunner.
I'm not even going to tell the story now.
Why?
Why not, Sparky? You've never been inhibited before me before. I mean, proceed. I'll mute.
Okay. I met this woman back around end of April. She said she was going to college back east. And her name was Sarah. She started sending me pictures. So I happened to send one of the pictures to Jeremy. And he says, those are pictures of Allison Tyler, a porn star. And I said, okay. Send me a picture with a with a piece of paper with a note on written on it, a number written on it. She didn't have any makeup on, but it was her.
Wait, it was the actual porn star?
Yeah, it's the actual porn star. But her real name isn't Allison. We don't know her real name, really. Because she quit being a porn star in 2017. Then she took up another name that the internet thinks is her real name, Courtney. So she changed her life altogether and became a fitness trainer. I didn't know all this shit when I met her. So she was coming back from the school, supposedly, this summer in San Diego. While she was in San Diego, she kept telling me the story about her inheritance. You know, her, that her dad left her and then a lot of money. Then she had to run off to Iowa to meet her dad's lawyer in Iowa, of all places. And from Iowa, they jumped on a plane to go get her inheritance that's supposedly in a safe deposit box in London, England. Are you following me so far?
Doing my best.
So now she's supposedly over in London, England, and I kept getting letters, emails from supposedly her lawyer, Christopher J. Dowd. And we kept corresponding back and forth. He kept telling me how they didn't have enough money to get the stuff out of the safe deposit box, whatever the thing of value was in the safe deposit box. They needed $24,000 to be able to complete the deal because they had to pay all the taxes, the British taxes.
Never heard of a coin-operated safety deposit box, but I haven't been around.
A box of $300,000. You're going to ruin the story, Scott, aren't you?
Nope. Scott's not saying another word. Keep going. We got to get there.
So anyway, I correspond back and forth with this lawyer, and I keep telling him I don't have the money. But she told him that I was her fiance, and that we were going to get married. And part of the inheritance was she's supposed to be married to somebody, and he considered me her fiance, so that's why they went, and that was good enough for the will. So they run off to London. So I got, when Billable Rick was here, I let him read all the emails from the lawyer, and he just started laughing. So anyway, about how the will had to go through probate, but there was some other legal word he had said for it. I don't know. I forgot. So anyway, she's stuck in London, telling me. She keeps trying to get money from me. So I asked her for proof that she's in London. So she sends me a picture of the Tower Bridge with a woman's body photoshopped on it.
What?
Standing by the Tower Bridge with her head on it.
Well, the British have been known to put heads on Tower Bridge. I mean, there's a history.
No, there's a woman's body. She's standing there like, she, you know, taking a picture in front of the bridge for a tourist photo.
Oh, I was thinking about the British history.
But the woman's clothing is not anything like she'd wear, and the breast size was not right. But her head was, you could tell her head was photoshopped on it.
Oh, they think they've got a live one in you, Sparky.
So that's where we're at now. And I keep, she keeps asking me to send her like $60, $100. I keep telling her no, no. But she just keeps after me. And we had a little emoticon battle yesterday or the day before. She just started posting crying emoticons and stuff at me. And I just answer back with other emoticons that are on a Google chat thing, a site. That went on. Now she's told me fuck off.
She was sent back poo poo girl face, poo poo girl face.
So that's the story.
Wow. Just, you know, don't send them anything. Of course, if you get that, it sounds like you may be served with divorce papers one of these days. I'm kidding.
I've never met the person.
Oh, I know. They just get more and more creative. What's that email?
That's some lightheartedness for the front porch. But it being all serious.
Oh, yeah. Well, it looks like we've got a number of people in the room this evening. Am I mistaken in thinking that?
A small number of people.
Yeah.
Somebody will jump in now. Scott was dying to get in.
Well, go, Scott.
No, I she needed money to get into the safety deposit box. Was there a coin slot? In other words, you had to put in eight quarters?
No, they had to pay the taxes. They had to pay the taxes that weren't inside.
Now, does a Nigerian prince figure in this story?
You know, you're not the first one to mention that possibility.
Well, here's the funny thing. I kind of did some background research on this, and there is no such British inheritance tax. That's made up. It's not like America. It's not the same that we have for, like, a death tax. They don't have that shit.
Oh, and by the way, going back to the fiat that Cinderblockhead was in, it's called fiat because you really have to believe it moves. Oh, thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Those things sold a grand total of 5,000 units in the U.S. in 2021. They're doing big-time numbers. And, you know, we joke about these catfish and stuff, but it can get serious in a hurry. Brother Deacon Asa says they soaked an older lady in my distant family for $100,000 after she lost her husband of 50 years. Jesus. Oh, and thank you. Go ahead.
I say it's no joke. My best friend's grandparents lost $60,000 in a pay us this and we'll pay you back something plus a fee scheme. Not realizing what's going on, and his father was incensed because now he has to kind of take care of the grandparents. They lost all of their basically their retirement money.
Best not to ask, but you know, isn't this sort of W.C. Fields territory? You can't cheat an honest man. So strangers just show up out of nowhere and you're going to have a windfall because you, lucky you, are the ones that they decided to... I mean, I guess it happens all the time, but wow. Well, and thank you, Jeremy. Jeremy just jumped in. We are now down to 1325 to get caught up with 2 weeks ago. Or something like that. Yeah, last week.
You know, these people that get ripped off by internet scams and stuff, back when the internet was a relatively new thing, I could see where people not knowing any better or not really thinking it through could get taken in. But how long has the internet been around as a thing, you know, where the general public participates in it and on it?
1994? 1995, yeah. Something like
That's
that.
That's what I was thinking. Early 90s.
Yeah, those were the old 56K days.
Oh, yeah, and even but even before that, I remember going to work in the magistrate court one morning in like 1992, and popping into the clerk's office, and she said, "You'll never believe what I just got," and it had come through the fax machine, and it was the Nigerian prince thing.
Yeah,
I mean that crap originated on fax machines.
Well, even before that, chain letters, but mail scams were a big thing, you know, in the pre. Explains why there are low information voters out there, because if that's a measurement of their judgmental. Their capacity to judge something, then.
Well, I mean, Tangerine Tiberius is the ultimate Nigerian prince, isn't he?
Oh, of course. And they gobble it up. I mean, they will send him money for the so-called defense fund. Jesus, come on. How dumb do you have to be to play that game?
Well, speaking of dumb, there is a book making the rounds now. If you look at pictures of people at recent Clementine Caligula rallies, you will see they are holding a book called President Donald J. Trump, The Son of Man, The Christ. I wish I was kidding. Inside the book, you will read President Donald John Trump, the Orange Man. Orange still doesn't rhyme with any words, but it's now synonymous with Trump, whose monikers include Agent Orange, the Mango Mussolini, the Cheeto in Charge, and Tangerine Jesus. When I heard some people call Mr. Trump Tangerine Jesus, I recall the scriptures of Matthew 17, 1 through 3, where Jesus' face did shine as orange as the sun. The comparisons between Jesus, the Son of God, whose face turned orange as the sun, and the Son of Man, President Donald J. Trump's face, who is the color orange, is enormously great. They've gone all the way now. They've freaking deified him. Which tells us a little bit about maybe where we are in terms of our status as a republic.
Well, I've got more than a few Bibles from my Bible thumping days, and I don't recall in the index a book of Crayola. I just don't.
Hey, Robin, did you possibly watch any of the Ken Burns documentary on the Holocaust in America this week?
No, I did not.
Very good.
In part, I think it was part two, not to give anything away, there's a scene where a guy was talking about how he was rescued from an orphanage. He talked about as the ship came into New York Harbor and passed through the fog, and he got pretty emotional about it because you know, it's still affecting him to this day. He said the statue of the American Man in the fog, he started breaking up, and he said, it still affects me because I knew I wasn't going to die at least that way when I came into the fog. And they showed a picture, I think, of these kids on the boat. And you see them waving at the Statue of Liberty, but they're not waving. They're saluting it like it's Hitler because it's all they knew to do.
Wow. Well, I guess it was at. I'm trying to think of who it was for. Maybe it was a. I think it was a Doug Mastriano rally in Pennsylvania this week, where they were getting they were shooting some sort of the promotional, and they had everybody giving right-handed stiff arm salutes to Doug Rott Mastriano. I mean, we're there, y'all. We are there.
We've been there. And getting back to what Jeremy was saying, my paternal grandfather, who literally did come over on the boat around the turn of the last century as a young man, on the way over, there was a guy on the boat who was selling little tin cups with little tin spoons for a dollar apiece to the traveling immigrants headed their way to the New York Harbor, saying that these were they had heard stories of America being the land of milk and honey, and you'll want to be prepared with your tin cup and your spoon so you can enjoy the milk and honey that the rivers flow with in the United States of America. Now, he didn't buy one, but immigrants have been fucked over and fucked around with for centuries, no matter where they're coming from and where they're headed, there's always a group in the destination port, and even on the way to the destination port, ready to rip them off and fuck them over. It's I don't know what gene it is. I don't know enough about the gene, the genome, but there's a part of some number of human beings where they get some kind of kick or satisfaction or endorphin rush from taking advantage of people in that way.
The more shocking thing about that documentary to me was I should have known this, but in history I wasn't taught this. But this all goes back to like the early 1800s. That's where white replacement theory started. That was the fear of all the people coming that didn't speak English to the New World. So that's where the quotas came in for only this many people from this many places a year.
But then some of those immigrants that came in were a little smarter than the average bear. And I'm thinking about my grandmother and grandfather on my mother's side, who were both born and raised in England. But when they hit Ellis Island in 1907, Grandpa and Granny came off the boat with two kids. And Grandpa got off the boat and he said, "I was born in San Francisco." "Okay, you go to the right." And Granny wouldn't lie, so she said, "I was born in England." So she went to the left. Grandpa walked around to the other side and claimed his wife and his two kids, and out the door they went.
Wow. Grandma was honest.
Grandma was honest, but Grandpa was a little bit of a little stranger than that. But he never did become a citizen because the U.S. didn't come to the aid of England fast enough in World War I. So he said, "Screw it, I'm never going to be a citizen." And he never did. He died in late 1963.
Hello?
Hey, Steve.
Hey. You know, I got to tell you, I think this DeSantis thing reminded me of something. The Tories in the UK and the GOP here are – I don't know who is writing the song sheet, but they're singing off the same song sheet because in the UK, the Tory government came up with a plan where where people who come seeking asylum, they're sending them to Rwanda. To plead their asylum case, and if they win their asylum case, they have to stay in Rwanda. They don't get to come back to the UK. So that Rwanda is serving as kind of like the
overflow.
I guess, yeah. I mean, that's just... There's, you know, there is ugliness that's been creeping across the world for a while now. They're experiencing a economic disaster over there. What stinks is it looks like it's going to take every area of the world seems that it's going to have to take or experience some pretty bad shit before they finally reject right wingerism. I mean, you think of Brazil, you think of even though Le Pen never got elected, but she came close. You have Boris Johnson, you have Liz Truss, you have who is the guy? There's a guy up in, there's like a fairly robust nativist movement in, I don't think it's Sweden. It's either Norway. I think it's Norway. But it's, you know, it's, and it is as crazy as some people may think, it's a lot better here than it is in an awful lot of places. And a lot of those, and the places that it's better than are a lot of places that we normally think of as either more democratic or saner than we are. I did some study about a lot of this shit, and it just really, some things really surprised me. But, you know. I think I heard Steve from Georgistan ready to talk. No?
No? Huh?
Am I still here?
Yeah, you are. You are, and I think you raise a good point. It seems like in all of these instances, I mean, this is like some of the stuff that they teach in 12-step programs, you know, about hitting rock bottom before
right,
you can...
Right.
I mean, it is... And the idea of what constitutes rock bottom is horrifying.
And what sucks is you don't, even if you've hit rock bottom, you never quite, it's a retrospective evaluation. At least I think for the most part, I mean, you don't know that you've hit rock bottom. I think it just, at some point you say, man, I really have to change my ways, or we really have to take a different direction. And then a few years a little bit down the road, you look back and say, oh shit. We came close to losing it all.
But the thing is, when you do that came close thing,
mm-hmm.
That's not to say that we won't yet. I mean, I just got a note from Ron in Raleigh.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't mentioned the Italian election to be held September 25th. It'll be the first time a fascist government will take control since Benito Mussolini. Giorgia Meloni is expected to win, and another one bites the dust. It's coming back. It is back. It's here.
I was like, it's here. Ain't no coming back about it.
It never left.
That are, well, I mean, yeah, it went to ground for a little bit and just regrouped.
And not that deep. All you do is scratch the surface the last 7 years, and you find hateful people. I mean, look at you in there. Look at this teacher who's quite, you know, qualified to do it. Same shit. You just scratch the surface of the right people, and they come out of the woodwork like fucking fleas.
By the way, Michael has his hand up.
Oh, hey, Michael.
Shit.
How do you, Steve?
Okay. So yeah, and I know this sounds weird, but in the shit that I've studied, I've realized or discovered, I shall say discovered, at least as Western countries go, we are probably one of the, or at least structurally, one of the most I'll say on paper, one of the most democratic countries in the world. At least, again, at least as far as the Western world goes. But, you know, I heard a statistic, an interesting statistic the other day. But let me, we also know that what is on paper oftentimes isn't reality. Because I heard a statistic the other day that apparently the UN has like an index of the most democratic countries. And 7 of the top 10 are all this surprised the hell out of me, constitutional monarchies. Because a lot of the the Scandinavian countries rank high on that list, and they're almost all of them have some royal family. The world's a weird place.
It is.
Steve?
Yes,
isn't
Scott.
Isn't it part of the human condition to rationalize or to have that notion in their head, oh, it could never happen here, it could never happen to me, it could never happen to us? I think it's already happening.
Well, I think the part of the problem is that a lot of time, I mean, if you think about it, extremists never take it all at once. It's very seldom, because if you did it all at once, most people wouldn't do it. And not only that, but there has to be fertile ground. I mean, think about Hitler. That's the most obvious example. You had fertile ground. You had the Weimar Republic, which couldn't form a government. You had inflation, and let's be honest here, the economic conditions in Germany were far worse than they were here. And if you think you look back, and what happened? The National Socialists, the Nazis, won. I think it was 20 or maybe 31% of the seats in what was called the Reichstag at the time, and the president was Paul von Hindenburg. And
I will handle this, Hitler.
Yeah. And a lot of the industrialists and whatnot thought, you know what, we'll have Hitler, we'll make him chancellor, but by doing that, we will be able to control him. And then little by little, you get an intelligent person like Hitler, and then Goebbels, who can propagandize the people and make them see things that were not not what they seemed, and they see a desperate people who, you know, are economically desperate. And then I don't know if anyone here knows about Germany has their own lost cause.
We were sold.
Yeah, we were sold. We really won the war. We were just sold down the river, and we all.
Well, Hitler was Hitler preached that coming out of the First World War.
Yep. Yep.
The war was lost by the politicians.
Yep.
And then lo and behold, you get the same thing coming out of Vietnam.
Hey, Steve, the dynamic that you're talking about is incrementalism.
Yeah.
If you have a Hickory Farms beef stick and I grab it out of your shopping cart and run, you know what's going on. But if I take it a slice at a time over a period of time, sooner or later, you're going to look and there ain't no more beef stick.
And not only that, but if you convince me, Steve, you don't need that much. You think about something like the Patriot Act. It's incremental. Well, hey, you know, if you've got nothing to fear, why do you care if we're listening in? If you've got nothing to fear, hey, you know, why don't you let this? And I get surprised. I don't know if anybody knows, but in New York they have pigs on the subway who they'll set up their little tables outside of the subway stations, and you walk up, and they randomly ask you to check your bag. And I walked in one time, and there they were, and I said, no, you can't check my bag. And I, you know, what I did is I just walked out of the station, walked to another station down the road. But an awful lot of people think of it as like, oh, well, you know, they're just trying to keep us safe. And I just, what I wish is in instances like that, people would stop. What exactly are they doing
that's keeping you safe? And by the way, you know, going all the way back to 2001 and et sec, we were inundated with the first job of the president is to keep the American people safe. Can anybody point in the Constitution to where it says that?
I've always thought that. I thought, really? Huh.
Yeah, his job is to keep us safe. Fly to Disney World.
Robin, we're reading off the same page. No, we're not only reading off the same page, we're actually playing the same notes.
We're on key.
Yeah.
It's funny that you mention 9/11. It just for some reason, I decided a couple of days ago to revisit some of the live coverage and the early coverage of that thing. And we were gobsmacked the day that happened.
Oh, I remember I was in law school when it happened. I wasn't in New York, but I was in Newark. I could look out my window and see the damn smoke coming out of the tower.
Yeah, and the August 6th memo, notwithstanding, I think that was the date.
Yes.
Bin Laden determined. Okay, America got A, caught with his pants down, and B, just totally... I mean, it was a pivotal event that changed everything. And when people feel vulnerable and afraid, all manner of mischief can be perpetrated.
Mm-hmm. Without a doubt. You know, you mentioned the August 6th briefing, Scott.
Yeah.
That's to the extent that anybody remembers that. And frankly, you know, we live in a bubble here, so we do. But
I already know what you're going to say, but say it.
Okay. But I think far more important in the larger scenario was that morning in like March of 2001 when the dim leader received the Hart-Rudman report, which laid out with mathematical logic and geometric precision the fact that our airports were soft and that it would be easy to do something like what would happen in September. And I don't know how many people remember this, but he took the Hart-Rudman report, which was gravely important, and handed it off and said, "Here you go, Branny, have a look."
Yeah, it's
and the Hart-Rudman report practically predicted what would happen in September.
Signposts laid it out. Any fool, well, apparently not any fool, but any person looking at it and taking it seriously would have seen the signposts that if we didn't take corrective action immediately, if not sooner, all manner of woe would fall upon us.
And then there's another book, and this has stayed with me all along. My dad back in the day would wake up and watch book notes on C-SPAN, and he was never a big one for, you know, he'd read the paper, but he was never books. No, but every now and then he'd see one that interested him. And he'd go to the store, buy it, and ship it to me, and say, "Read it, and tell me if it's what I think it is." And he sent me this one, and it was actually an account of, by a journalist of a year at the United States Military Academy in West Point. What's the noise?
No, it's me. Go on.
But tucked away inside that book was an account of the graduation that year, which took place in June of 2001. And the commencement speaker was the Colm Licker himself, Paul Wolfowitz.
Ew, the guy that groomed himself with spittle.
Yes.
Gross.
Yes. The Colm Licker.
Yeah.
Hi, Steve.
Hello, Robin.
Ew.
And the book quotes from his commencement remarks, and I remember reading it and going, and this was all post 9/11, going, holy shit. Because in it, it quotes Paul Wolfowitz saying to the graduating class of 2001, you are about to be called upon in ways you never imagined. I can't tell you what it's going to be, but all I can tell you is be ready. And he delivered those remarks almost 3 months exactly to the day of September 11th, 2001. And I was never one of those 9/11 truthers or anything. But God.
Do you recall the title of that book? Because I'd like to read that.
It's a fascinating book, but it's not about policy and it's not about 9/11. At the time it was published, I don't even... But... No, I don't. But if you look up 2001 book about a year at West Point.
Okay.
You'll probably find it. In fact, you know, this is a full service program. And God, 2000, 2001. What sweet summer children we were. Just a second. I bet it'll pop. Release date, May 1996. No. Yeah, I think Ralph's may be right. It might be, it might be Absolutely American, 4 years at West Point.
Okay, I'll check it out. The thing is, I guess the overriding point that Steve was making, and I kind of echoed, was as well-constructed and beautifully designed and well strategically placed as any signpost could be, if you don't pay any attention to it as you're zooming down the highway of life, what good does the thing do? And the apologists for our blindness, our willful blindness, you know, need to be rebuked, and it needs to be said to them, yeah, maybe you didn't have the full outline of what was going to happen, but life will hand you clues from time to time. And isn't part of your, if part of the job of the American president is to help keep the people safe, you were napping on the job. As we're called the Three Stooges in to paint your room or whatever. It's.
Oh, no, I remember the 2004 campaign. He kept us safe. Well, you know, if you don't count September 11th.
Bingo. Give that lady a box of Snickers. Jesus.
So, yeah. And by the way, we have crossed into the third hour of the program. We have $1,625 to go. Thank you, Jeremy. And thank you, Henry, and thank you, Ralphs. And, gosh, I mean, I hate to make it sound as dire as it is, but, you know, things stay dire when we don't, when this program is not properly funded. And I'm like, I got hit with $250 worth of stuff I didn't realize I was going to be paying for today. You know, namely the new sticker and the new sticker and the, yeah, right, property taxes. So, you know, if it would be great if we could just help keep up with keeping the program on the air. Again, I wish I could do it myself. I cannot. But yeah, absolutely American. Wait a minute. No, I think it is absolutely American, Ralphs, because it goes all the way through graduation in June 2001. It's by David Lipsky, Scott. And it's just almost, you know, it just, you go, and, oh, shit! And it almost feels like, you know, and again, you know, the Comlicker, Paul Wolfowitz, was part of PNAC, you know, the Project for a New American Century, and they felt like there had to be global warfare to maintain American military dominance.
Well, I'll check that out. And watching these videos of that day got me mad all over again. Because I didn't find out till like a year or two later that a guy I knew from my D.C. days was on the plane that hit the Pentagon. And I've been out of touch with him for years. But just the fact that somebody I knew was directly impacted, no pun intended.
Yeah, you probably could have had better word choice there.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is the guy, he had moved on, he had gotten his master's degree. He was a fifth grade teacher, and he was taking a group of fifth graders from the D.C. area to a nature preserve, I believe in Santa Barbara, and he and the two dozen kids were among the victims on the plane that hit the Pentagon. That might not have happened had we paid just a molecule of attention. I say we, I mean them, the people in charge. Had they not had another plan in mind, I think we can go so far as to say that, you know, what with Wolfowitz's thinking, had we only paid a molecule of attention to the actual signposts that were there to be seen and heeded. So I get mad all over again because, and really, when you think about the phenomenon of Trump in 2016 going forward, it's same shit, different day. We were warned what a bad news bear this guy was going to be. But did we vote in a manner consistent with avoiding a problem that was eminently avoidable? Hell no. That's not the American way. It makes me want to spit.
Well, it is infuriating. And we should, you know, we should stay mad about it. I mean, and there's our partners in peace, you know, the Saudis. And they're running a grifty golf tournament, golf league. It's, yeah. Oh, and yeah, thank you, Jeremy. Jeremy just jumped back in again. Saying, and so we are now down to 1,705 to go. Here's a little more for the very real rendition of Robin's creepy story time. Sorry that happened. Glad you had eyes on you as well as the eyes on the creeper. I'll be honest with you. I've kind of not been okay all day. Because I live my life, and I live it out and proud. And then, boom, There you are. I mean, I just got back from being all over the Deep South and having no problems whatsoever. And then, you know, some shitbird from Ohio just happened. And by the way, I did hear back, and if he tries to re-enter, if he tries to go back to Maggie's, he will be turned right around and sent right back out. So that's reassuring. And I'm sorry. I'm not trying to make this about Robin's story time, but I don't understand it. I never have. What is it about someone living their own life that creates such, and this is exactly the word, such atavistic revulsion in another human being? I don't know. I sound crackly? I'm not. I'm sorry. It could be my voice.
Yes, ma'am, you do. No, it's something electronic going on, and I thought it may be on my end because I just downloaded 111 today, but I'm hearing from everybody else that it's not just me.
Okay. Well, I mean, I turned off the air conditioner so there wouldn't be so much of a roar. My levels are, I mean, I'm not pegging. I backed off my levels a little bit. Did that make any difference?
No, ma'am. It sounds very crackly.
Well,
it's a connection thing. Something needs to be jostled.
It's a feedback. It's after you talk to crackle happens, not you. It's after the fact.
Oh, that's just weird. But thank you, Jeremy. Thank you. It was bad for it was bad for my mental health. Of course, I guess, you know, one needs to be reminded from time to time that one must be aware of one's situation. And I guess I'm glad it wasn't a West Virginian.
Ken has his hand raised.
Yeah, Ken, go ahead.
He's muted.
Well, Jake just wrote in to say everyone's coming in loud and clear in Columbus, Ohio. I'm going to get a hate mail from Nikki again. Stop that, Jake. Now, I wish I had a picture. That dude had no neck. And thinking,
he was the Mothman.
No. The Mothman's not that. The Mothman only shows up to point toward impending disasters.
Oh, okay.
It's...
His mic doesn't work on Ken.
Okay, I just saw that, yeah.
Why is it so quiet tonight?
I don't know.
Chime in.
I don't know.
Chime in.
Well, I've got a little bit of news to share.
Go, Roger, go.
I went and got my third booster. And while I was there, I asked them specifically because of the timing, is this booster really good for the new one that's coming up? And I got told by the person who was going to stab me that we're not absolutely sure, but we are sure that if you are fully vaccinated and this is your third booster, no matter what variant you get, you will be better protected than if you didn't have it. In other words, it's sort of like both the youngest boy and the daughter-in-law's sister have both had COVID recently, and it was a 2-3 day affair, and it kind of felt like the flu. And there was never any danger of going to the hospital, and they didn't start in on the antiviral medication that people like Joe Biden get. But it's definitely get your booster and you will be better protected than if you don't have it. But you may still get sick, but you're not going to be in the ER and going toes up on the marble slab.
I think I'm up to shot number 5. I just got one last week. And my card was filled up and they had to take a sticker. That's what they did at Publix and put
this
it over
my
the fifth. Back.
This was my fifth shot.
Yeah, that's what it is. Because you had two out up front, then you have one around Thanksgiving, then you have one around April-ish, and yep, this is number 5, yep.
Yeah, and the whole point of it is to keep from encountering that horrid condition going all Herman Cain-like. You know?
I have known people that only have just a shot and the booster. And if they get it, they get sick, really bad sick for about a week, but they never went, ended up in the hospital. In fact, this guy said his blood oxygen level never went before below 96. So, but he said he felt like ass for a week. He couldn't even get out of bed. There's that.
Well, the youngest boy basically was down for 2 days and we took food down to the farm and, daughter-in-law's sister was ambulatory and that kind of stuff and had plenty of food, so we didn't have to take food over to her or anything. But she just felt down, but she wasn't out kind of a number. She didn't have to stay in bed. She just had to stay home and stay quiet kind of number. So it definitely keeps you out of the emergency room, but so far, knock on wood, I haven't gotten it.
I haven't either. Karen tested positive, and I still didn't catch it. So there's got to be something to these vaccinations. And I'm opinion that the more that you get, the better protected you are. Now, long-term effects, do I know? Honestly, no.
Well, one of the interesting things...
I'm long in the tooth, so I don't care.
One of the interesting things that I came across the other day is when we did the first one, it was like it'll take like 2 weeks for it to start giving you some immunity kind of thing. And then mm-hmm. you needed that second shot. 2 weeks later, okay, now you're vaccinated. And that is that with this booster, if you've been keeping up and this is your fifth shot and you're getting it now, your immunity level bounces up within 2 days.
Right. It that's kind of what I heard. It starts working instantly and then it peaks out.
You know, yeah. You have got your protection in 2 days. Now there's another little thing going around.
And that is
getting your COVID and your flu vaccine at the same time, one in each arm. And that if you don't do it on the same day, you've got to wait 2 weeks before you can get your flu shot. I ran down that rabbit hole last night, and that's not the case. If the flu vaccine isn't available when you get your third booster, you could get a flu vaccine the next day or 2 days later or 3 days later. There's no real number. The idea of putting them together was simply so you, okay, if either one of them is going to nail you out, you only get nailed out once and you're good to go. But there's no problem with getting a flu vaccine shortly after you get the COVID.
And the efficacy rate, from what I'm reading on the flu, is relatively good this year. It's between 40 and 60. Comparatively speaking, last year it was like 16. It didn't do very good last year. But, I mean, anything beats a zero, right?
Well, but the thing with the flu vaccine is there's a bunch of people wearing green eye shades sitting around a table someplace trying to predict which strains of the flu are going to be flying around the following year. And so it's kind of a crapshoot. But mm-hmm. again, the flu vaccine is another one of those. If they hit it right and that flu comes around, okay, you're protected from that. But if there's a slightly different strain, having the flu vaccine primes your body to start making the antibodies quicker. So even if it's only a 4 or 6% on the varieties, it is still going to give you a reduced amount of illness for the time you have the flu, because your body's already primed somewhat.
Well, I believe in science, and I compare myself using myself as my metric, because all of my friends who said, oh, screw it, I don't want to get that, I don't know what the side effects are, most of them have gotten really, really sick. Some have died. I don't know if anybody's gotten a vaccine and died, but I've known plenty of people who said, I ain't getting no goddamn vaccine, and they're no longer with us.
Yeah, well, there is the thing about the Darwin Awards, if you don't want to get the vaccine, fine. I honestly believe that the people that have gotten the vaccine and gotten sick should have priority in the hospitals.
Absolutely.
Over those people that haven't gotten the vaccine. If you can't prove you've been vaccinated, here's some ivermectin, go home and sleep it off.
John's here.
Oh, are you
stuck a light bulb up their ass and tell them to go home?
Yeah, right. Yeah, here's an icy cold pint of pee pee. Drink up. Bye.
Yeah, indeed, the Darwin Award. Hello, Robin.
Hello, John. How are you?
I am doing just fine, darling. How are you?
I've been better. Really? Had a thing last night, and it just kind of set me back.
What kind of thing do you have? I presume it's not a good thing, or you'd be tickled to shit.
No, I got assaulted.
You got a what?
Assaulted.
Assaulted?
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, that was an assault, Steve. I mean, people think that assault means you have to have been touched. No, that's battery. Assault is putting someone in immediate fear of receiving an unconsented to touching of an insulting or provoking nature. And that was an assault last night.
Boy, how to shit. Well, I'm sorry you had to endure that, dear.
Who the hell assaulted you, or would you rather not say?
Oh, did you not hear?
No, ma'am.
I popped by my local watering hole on the way home from an errand, and there was some creepy, big, giant, massive dude with no neck who tried to stare a hole through me, and I guess he was all nice and liquored up, because he was going to go down the Gauley River today. That's what you always want to do. Go down the Gauley River, a class five river. Go down that with a roaring hangover. But he just stared at me. I was just paying my bill and going out, and he stared at me, and finally looked at me and said, "What the fuck is wrong with you?"
Really?
Yeah. And, looked at me like he wanted me dead.
Yes.
Then the proprietor bounced him. No, I just looked at him and said, absolutely nothing.
I'm just trying to be me, dick.
So
Look past the ignorance. I know it hurts.
Well, it's not that it hurt. It was frightening.
I would imagine.
It pisses you off, too.
Dude finally left the bar and came around and put a straight line between me and him like he was getting ready to come after me.
Because you don't know who's strapped up nowadays, either. There's that,
Indeed.
And they came and took his beer away, and then a couple of people escorted him out. And then we waited a little bit, and they escorted me out, and they were still standing there in the parking lot grunting and scratching themselves, I guess. Mm-mm-mm. And, waited till they drove away, and then I left, and because, you don't know what people will do.
No, not in this day and age, you don't.
And so, I got in the car.
Sucks.
Locked the door, started the car, chambered around, and left.
You got to be careful nowadays, baby, because you don't know. You don't know who's just a mouth and who's looking for shit.
I think this guy had enough liquid courage in him to try to do something. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I got an
asshole.
I got a
got to remove
too short.
Got to remove a kitty cat from the studio. Just a second. Socks are these. Please, let go.
That is so odd, Robin. I mean, I just checked out of Skype and listened to the audio through the stream, and you sound fine, but on Skype, you're really static.
No, it's weird.
I was fixing to ask the same thing. Why am I getting all this static?
What is causing that?
If you were
to check out of Skype and just listen to the stream, he sounds fine. She sounds fine.
Thank you.
Old habit, man.
Oh, no, you're fine. You're fine, hon. Yeah, you're right. Jake and Columbus saying, "Ahia, man, giving Florida man a run for his money." Yeah.
Oh shit.
But I did get a note back saying he will not be. Like I said, he will not be allowed back in.
Oh, good. At least the bar owner and the staff there have your back.
Yeah. I mean, I'm. You know,
life's too short.
They're my friends.
There, mind your own business. What the fuck, man? What's it to him? You know?
And it's like there was conversation going on around him and everything, and he was just totally fixated. I mean, those little piggy eyes just staring. And
was it
all day long? It's kind of fucked with me.
It maybe would have net touched on many, many months ago. Maybe he had some kind of secret attraction to him and, you know, it was making him, you know, it would happen.
No, this was pure hatred. This was just pure hatred.
Remember Nim's fake boobs? Remember Annette's explanation for that? You don't think there's a parallel here?
No, it was hate. I mean, it was unmitigated. It was absolute.
Is this Robert person local to you? Or?
No. I found out later that he's from he and his group were from Ohio, and they'd come here to do the Gauley River.
Well, then after he gets done with his little river shit, he'll be gone. So
yeah,
hey, Robin.
But it ain't like you ain't gonna run into that again, Robin.
Yeah.
You know,
try going out of the Skype group and coming back in, see if that fixes your sound.
Okay. Stand by.
So how?
Oh, hi, John.
Okay, I'm just checking. Yeah. Okay, I went out. I came back. Better?
You're perfect. Oh, you're good. Yeah, you're gold. Right. Yeah,
I'll be
man.
Dipped. Duncan I will be dipped.
Man. I got to tell you guys, Duncan's on the move,
babe. Yep. Got that shit under control.
I got to tell you guys, going
on Discord, John, so I thought I'd work here.
There you go.
Like a glove, man.
Yeah, I got to tell you guys, going and seeing a football game live in person is a hell of a lot better than seeing it on TV.
And speaking of which, I got to tell you, I tried my new theory last night. You know, the Mountaineers have been stinking up the joint. Well, the Mountaineers are now 2-2. They went into Blacksburg and dropped a rock on Virginia Tech. I don't know how bad Virginia Tech is. I don't maybe terrible, but we hung 33. We beat them by 33-10, 23 points. That's the largest margin of victory in ages against Tech. And here's where my theory comes in. I didn't watch the game.
No, really?
I didn't watch the game day one. So I guess I guess the Mountaineer season's out for me, but, you know, I can literally take one for the team.
Karen and I have that same theory. You know, whenever we watch a sports team, they lose. But when we don't watch and just let Alexa update us on the score, they win. And we feel like the hand of doom.
That doesn't apply to the NFL, though.
No more.
Yeah. Well, the Falcons are just horrible this year.
By the way, Steve, I'm going to go to the stress line here in a second, but I wanted to ask you, you know, because I mentioned when I was headed down to Atlanta, coming down 75, which is just madness. It's just insanity.
Oh, my God, the way 75 and 85 merge. What engineer?
Oh no! I'm talking about even way back up in North Georgia, you know, because at this point, Chattanooga is just a suburb of Atlanta,
pretty much.
And so it's madness all the way to Atlanta. But I was passing through Dalton, and I just have to know: have you seen that jumbotron there at Carpets of Dalton or whatever it is. There's a Jumbotron there, and they were, and I thought of you when I was driving by it, because it was a, it was a series of photographs of the coin.
She's still dead, by dead, the way.
God bless you, Queen Elizabeth. God bless you.
Long live the Queen. No, I haven't seen that. Now,
it's right there on, if you're southbound on 75, it's right there on your right. Huge Jumbotron. I don't know. Maybe they've taken her down that they've, now that they've put her in the dirt. I don't, but at least it, you know, and I drove by there thinking, well, at least it's not a Confederate flag.
There is a sign similar to that area where they advertise prescription drugs, ammos, and guns on the same sign.
Oh, right here in Corpus, we got a nice place down here on Leopard Avenue. Drive by, it says it right on the big side of the wall of the building, guns and drugs.
Right there. Yeah, you get your Prozac and your...
Yeah, go right next door to the gun range and shoot your ass off. Hey, did I miss all the fucking fun about joking around about Donnie getting a civil lawsuit and...
No, we haven't gotten there, but we will. Let me go to the stress line real quick, though. Stand by, John.
All right.
Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, Robin. It's Nydia.
Hey, Nydia. How
and
are you, dear?
Well, I'm okay, but I'm very upset about what happened to you, and I wanted to add another woman's voice to this conversation.
Thank you.
You know, a couple people, yeah. I mean, my heart's beating hard because of this, Robin. And I know people are saying things like, well, you know, you'll never run into him again. That's true. You may not ever run into him again, but the sad reality is, and I know your listeners are acutely aware of this, there's a war going on against women. And it's evidenced by everything from reproductive rights to attacks on trans women, because it, in the mind of a patriarch, it's challenging everything they think they know. It's part of the same dynamic. And you know what I do for a living, and I have to tell you, I don't think it's an accident that all the women clients I see, over 90%, have been victims of domestic violence, sexual assault, repeated gang rape. I'm not exaggerating this. You know I'm not.
No, you aren't.
Here we are. You know, and I'm going to say a few things that are provocative. I don't expect everybody's going to agree with me. The conversation tonight was initially, once you opened it up to the porch, a discussion about a quote-unquote porn star. And it was a very light conversation and ha-ha and all of that. Really, the main theme of it being the scam, I get that. But I have to tell you that pornography is a big problem, and I'm not being a prude. If anybody's really interested in the topic, read the book Sex and Boys, okay? It's a relatively new book by, I forget her name, a New York Times reporter. And what we have going on is that young people today, the main way they now learn about sex is through pornography. And that has a very detrimental effect on the way in which boys perceive the role of women, the way in which that guy you encountered last night, the role of women and what you represented. It has extensive consequences. And we are reaping the effects of that. Now, if anyone doesn't know this, most of what's on Pornhub, while some of it's professional actors, what's happening is women are being filmed by their boyfriends who, when they break up, in order to attack them, they upload these films to Pornhub. There's been a lot of movies written, you know, produced about this. And then you can't get it off. And it's like you are being assaulted again. And again.
And very few states have, right? Very few states have laws against what's called revenge porn.
Exactly. But I don't think you know, I'm not comfortable with just brushing off and, you know, well, you'll never run into him again. Let's hope not. But I have to tell you, do you remember the old slogan, women take back the night? I mean, that,
yes.
That needs to be resurrected because that's where we are. And while I'm not a trans woman, I can tell you, and I've lived in this state, and it's not that West Virginia is probably were in a lot of ways safer than some other states as far as just going out in the evening, that kind of thing. Now, in terms of domestic violence, that's a different issue. But I have to tell you, most of the women I know, going out yourself at night alone, not a great idea. So I just wanted to throw a different perspective out there on this.
I appreciate it. And Nydia, one of the things that I sort of meditated upon today was all that nasty bastard had to do was keep his pie hole shut. I never would have known anything. I would have left the bar having paid my tab. He could have followed me out and hurt or killed me.
I know that. I am very aware of that. And
I mean,
so,
he outed himself, so to the extent that that was kind of traumatic, had me, my heart rate was through the roof. If I'd had my Apple Watch on, it would have been like, girl, calm down.
You weren't in the, no, let's not, you know, to other, not that you're doing this, let's not minimize this. This was
no,
serious.
It was. It could have been far worse than it was.
I'm aware. So I just thought, you know, and you and I have talked about this before. I would like to see more women call into the program. You have some regulars that do, and I'm very thankful for their voices. And I very much appreciate all the male callers. As you know, I listen regularly to your show, because your program, let me correct that, because it's so highly informative. And I very much look forward to it every evening. But on a topic like this, I think women, and I hope some, and maybe not tonight, will call in because their perspective is different. We do have to when we go out at night, you know, or even in terms of family members, obviously, with domestic violence issues. Yeah, you know, you got to kind of be a little bit on the hypervigilant side. You got to watch your back. We're living in very dangerous times. So I'm going to jump off because that's, you know, my style to do that. But I just kind of wanted to shift the conversation a little bit, folks. This wasn't just a one-off isolated incident that, oh, well, the end of story. It's not end of story. Okay?
Thank you, Nydia. I appreciate it. I really, really do.
Okay.
And,
okay, Robin. Good
and the, only, you, the, you the, only, the only thing I would say is if there's anybody that wants to ask any questions or anything, because I mean, this is what you do. You deal with these issues on a professional basis. And, you know, I told Annette earlier, thank God I've got a therapy appointment on Monday. Cause
yes, yeah, absolutely. It'll be a good thing for you to process that. Absolutely.
And,
good deal.
And I don't think I don't think this is going to go away for me for a few days. You know, this is
no. And there are some, you know, I would explore a little bit, like going forward, you know, some strategy, solution focus. What do we do going forward? But this is the reality we live in. And my own take of it is, you know, is very much focused on you, because what to him you represented about what females are, which is a problem across the board.
Well,
not just with you.
And see, the other thing that has entered that, because I've thought about so many things, I mean, all day long. The other thing is, he's from Ohio. And of course, there has been a months long spasm of just untrammeled hatred in Ohio. With the Republican Party trying to gin up power through hatred of women's bodies generally, women's the reproductive rights of people, the rights of vastly at risk youth population being allowed to have a complete educational experience. And yeah, you're right, Nydia, it is all of a piece. But I can't help but think that this fucker was weaponized by the environment in which he lives.
Oh, I don't think they're saying doubt.
And he was one of those big hulking lummoxes. For all I know, you know, an incel or men's rights dude. I mean, his head was literally in a rectangle. I mean, my guess is he was roided out of his mind.
Well, may well be. And I want to just throw in one last thing. I have very mixed feelings on this, but you do know that the Japanese, and actually there was a developer here as well, they have now created female robots, female sex robots. Why? Because men are having trouble relating to real live women. And there was everybody can look this up if they want. I was horrified when I saw this. It's a couple of years ago. There was an IT trade show, and the Japanese brought in this very lifelike-looking female robot. And you know what happened to her? She was attacked.
Yes.
A robot, granted, we're talking about a machine, but she was attacked, and she was literally destroyed. What does this say? Is this what it's come to? And I am telling you that a lot of men cannot relate to live women anymore. It's not just the incels. So it's part of a larger whole. But I'm going to jump off because I probably went on long enough, and that's just not my style. But I wanted to change the course of the conversation.
Well, thank you, Nydia. And Jude said something a little bit ago that you might be interested in. Jude said, I've been holding open a window for one of the horned men to address this, and it was our Steve. Haven't been able to process such a moment you lived through. I'm not trying to spread the trauma around or compete in the trauma Olympics, but
No.
You know, this has happened to me twice, and it's the same question both times. In the first time it was March of 2021, and it was drunk. What the hell are you? And then last night it was, what the fuck is wrong with you? And those are statements of the same idea that somehow or another there's something wrong with me because they feel an atavistic level of bigotry and hatred over this.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when people are that liquored up, they will tell you the truth.
Oh, very true. And their inhibitions are down. They will say or do anything. Makes for a dangerous situation.
It does.
But I'm going to jump off. Nydia, I want to hear if other people have reactions to that.
Yeah, same. Thank you, Nydia. I wish you a wonderful weekend.
All right.
Bye.
Yeah. Good talking to you.
Bye. And so we are very short of time. We have about 10 minutes to go. And God, if we could get down below $1,700 at least on Monday, we won't be at a $2,000 fundraising hole. And this is just gets scarier and scarier and scarier. But we are at...
Excuse me, $1,700?
I'm sorry. It's 1605. So... we won't have a $2,000 fundraising hole. Yeah, John Bredevo, yeah, we're unfunded back to last week.
Boy, howdy. Things are getting tough, ain't they?
Drier than a snake's belly in a wagon rut, John Bredevo.
You know what? I just got in the mail, Robin.
Sat.
Last letter from my mortgage company.
Lovely.
Insurance and taxes. My monthly payment's gone from $903 to $1,389.
Jumping Jesus.
That's a $400 fucking dollar jump.
Holy shit.
And I'm like you, Robin. This is it. You know, when Robin's out here saying that she's $1,600 in the hole, baby, that's a hole that just keeps getting bigger. You see, you think you hit rock bottom? No, baby. Break out the dynamite. We can go deeper. And it's only by the donations of our families, the Horn family, the Blue Dot family, that we even exist, that we even keep our voices on the air. So when we come on and ask for a donation, if we come to you, it's because this is our job. This is it. This is how we pay the bills. This is how we buy the groceries, put gas in the car. This is it. So when you start, it's just like your budget at home. And I always predicate all my donations. If you can't afford it, baby, you don't need to do it.
Right.
But
right.
If you have a few, you know, this is it. We're coming up on a time. We're 46 days out from the midterms. You think the excitement has been good in the past? Hold on to your britches, baby, because we got 29 states running maggot Republicans who don't believe in elections anyway. And no matter what the outcome of the election is, every one of them are going to demand that they won. And we're going to go into a bunch of bullshit while we're going through the same thing with Trump. And this is the place, one of the places that you can come to not only hear the news, but hear the conversation around the events of the day, where this country's going, what we're fearful of, and right down to the bigotry of people, the hatred that has developed in this country over the last 6 years that has come out from underneath their rocks. We still try to push that back under those rocks every fucking day. And the only tools that we have is our voice. That's it. Robin starts this show and discusses a lot of issues and then opens the mics up. And we come in and talk about the issues of the day or whatever the subject matter may be. But it brings us a place to meet where we can use our voice. And never has it been more important that we do exactly that. 46 days until you're ready to vote. Make sure that you're registered. Your registration is up to date. You know where to go. Tune in to Robin's show every damn day. You can learn something. There's just ways to be involved. But the biggest one right now is she's $1,600 in the hole. I know what that feels like, baby. And it feels like you're drowning. So if you can afford it.
Yeah, John, $1,600 in the hole. And the fact of the matter is.
And the water's rising.
The water's rising and the hole's getting deeper.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that what we are in the hole will not cover what is due right now.
No, this increase in my rent, my mortgage payment is scaring the fuck out of me. What am I going to do?
Right. Yeah. And what you do is you sit around and you eat your own liver.
Eating will be the last thing on your list after you pay the bills.
Right.
If you're like,
exactly.
Groceries is going to be the last thing you're going to go buy. Because you got to pay the mortgage, you got to have the rent, the electricity, everything else that comes in life. We all have that, every one of us. I've donated to Robin before. I don't have it, but every once in a while I think, well, I got a few extra bucks, so I'm going to put it where it counts. And believe me, right here at Robin's show is where it counts, where it makes a difference.
Well, I try to make it count. I really do. And thank you, Emilio. Emilio got us down to 1601. Lady B just got us down to 1591.
Oh, well, there you go. We're getting
We're making some progress, and I know exactly what it feels like to feel what you're feeling right now. I mean, that's the stone and the great big rock in my gut when I realized I would be uninsured going forward because my premium had gone to $1,750 a month.
Boy, howdy shit. That's your health insurance?
Yeah.
Yeah. We got work to do in this country, baby. Major work to do.
And you know what? I want to point out something.
I don't have weekends.
This is going to be.
Every day is another day.
This coming election is going to be a referendum on how much women are willing to put up with in this country. And the people who actually care about women. I'm not talking about Republican men and the enablers, the self-hating women enablers. That they're down with this. But if we could, by some miracle, expand our control of the Senate, hang on to the House, it'll be a repudiation of every bit of the hate, the anti-immigrant hate, the misogynistic hate, the transphobic hate, the homophobic hate that the Republican Party lives and breathes on.
Thrives on.
Yeah, they're not good. Alabama's not going to change, although I had no problems in Alabama last week. Georgia is changing.
The issues are changing, Robin, because, you know, Kansas showed us that. When they put abortion on the ballot,
the only thing
what
I
happened?
Look forward to on the weekends is NASCAR and football.
He's a wise man right there. Kansas came through, right? They're going to put it on the ballot in Michigan.
Somebody to share my life with, but I don't.
I guarantee you in Michigan it's going to be the same thing.
Michigan. Seen it. Absolutely. Yeah.
They're going to do the same thing. If the issue is put to the people, it's obvious what the people desire. But in most states, it's not put to the people. It's put to the state legislature. So now is the time that this when they keep talking about Rovember, baby, there's more women that have registered to vote, most of them between the ages of 18 and 25. It's an issue.
Pink wave.
In waves, indeed. I think we're going to see a better outcome than what the polls are showing. I think we got a damn good shot of picking up a couple seats in the Senate, and I don't think we've lost the House yet.
And you know, I think it's interesting. He didn't put it in the stark terms that I do here, John. But President Biden, speaking today to the Democratic National Committee, said if we can add a couple of senators,
yep,
we will codify Roe. And he was saying, without saying it, what I've been saying here for a year, because of all the questions I got about, you know, why Joe Manchin got to be so fucked up? Why West Virginia's got to keep sending Joe Manchin to the Senate? And I'm like, baby, you have no idea what the alternative is.
Yeah,
be
careful what you
wish for. But the fact of the matter is, what I've been saying is, if you're sick of Joe Manchin, then give the Senate more Democratic senators to work with and render him and Curtsy and Kyrsten Sinema irrelevant.
Uh-huh. There you go. We can do it. You know we're going to take Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Wisconsin's not looking bad. Even Ohio.
Yeah, I saw one poll out of Wisconsin where Ron Johnson is behind Mandela Barnes by double digits.
Ron Johnson. Well, is that the guy that was trying to slip the fake voters into the?
The one that said that he's disgusted that Democrats participate in civil society. Fascist, yeah. Much, Ronnie?
That's the guy. Yeah, we should be able to get rid of his ass.
Yeah,
others like him.
Let me check. Does anybody have their hand up?
Rick did earlier, but then he left the chat.
Oh, darn. Okay. But we
I
got
don't have my hand up, but I wanted to throw something in real quick.
Okay, go, Scott.
When Nydia, is that the lady's name?
Yeah, Nydia. Yeah.
When she was talking, and you were going over, and she was talking about your experience. The thing that came immediately to mind was the campfire scene in Easy
right.
Rider.
Yeah.
Do you have time enough to
play that? No, I can't run the clip, but the quote is what's salient out of that.
Exactly. Go ahead and share it.
The campfire scene at in Easy Rider.
That's what makes them dangerous.
They're not afraid of you. They're afraid of what you represent.
Yeah.
And that's what makes them dangerous. Is that what you were thinking too, Steve?
That's exactly what I was thinking, and it was true then when the movie was made, and
it's true now.
Your exhibit A and it being
I'm trying to figure out something here. What is it that I represent? Because I'm not I'm not representing anything.
It's not you. It's in the illusion and the fear is in them. You're ASINs, okay? And that's
I mean, if that dude's as roided up as if that dude is as roided up as I think he probably is, goddamn, his balls are like raisinettes.
Probably so.
That dickhead is a deviant. And what the Republican Party, the majority of them, has done is normalized deviant behavior. And this has been going on for the last 30-plus years, and it's getting worse. And we're at a very dangerous place.
Yeah, we are. We really are.
I'm just curious. How does the stress line work? Like, why couldn't Nydia stay on the line? Or was it that if she stayed on the line, the rest of us can't talk all together?
No, it wasn't that. She just wanted to say her piece and move on.
Oh, okay.
And that's how she often operates.
Gotcha.
Because basically she's not, you know, she's presenting information that comes from her professional status, her own expertise. Okay. And then, you know, we can ponder it and we can discuss it and go from
yeah,
there.
That's fine.
Thank you. And thank you to Kevin and Tracy up in Massachusetts. Thank you. We are now down to 1560.
Knocking it down little by little.
Thank
and,
you.
And on the after show, when you're listening to this after after hours, don't let that slip by, because there's a need, and Robin is filling a need in her show. But it needs to be reciprocal, baby. We need to support her as much as we can, because it's just by donations. That's it. Just donations that keeps her voice on the air.
Yeah, and I should probably clarify something. I went. There may be people out there that, oh yeah, she doesn't need it that much because you know she took a trip last week. Well, that was all paid for. That didn't happen here. That was because my presence was requested down there and my expenses were covered. So that, you know, and I seldom go anywhere just for damn fun. Almost every time I go somewhere, it's to do something or to work on something. And, you know, now,
well, thank goodness there's people out there that are willing to help with that.
Yes, absolutely.
The work is important.
You know,
it's oh Lord.
Yeah, it was.
It's rough. Hey, it's rough.
Yeah.
You know.
But it, like I said, you know, I get, you know, there's a certain karmic thing, I guess, because I was all over Georgia and Tennessee and Alabama, and it was yes, ma'am, no problems. And then I come back home, and this asshole from Ohio is sitting there. You know, if looks could kill, I would have gone away in pieces in a basket.
Well,
and
like I said, it ain't going to be the last one you run into, Robin.
No, it won't be. It won't be.
There's going to be assholes all through your life. And they derive some kind of pleasure out of it, I guess. I don't know. Maybe it makes their balls grow just a little tiny bit more, they think. But we can't let what others do determine what we do.
I think for some people, it's also just a guttural thing. Like, they don't have a reason thing. It's just that they don't like what they're seeing. It really rubs them the wrong way, and all they know is, that's all they have in them.
I think Robin had it right. By the Republican Party has given a green light for that behavior.
Yeah, they're
pumping it.
It's stochastic terrorism, John.
Yes. Yes, and it plays into the rest of what they're trying to sell. You know, we're all pedophiles anyway. We eat babies, and, you know, we're trying to change all kids into either gay or transgender kids. You know, that's the whole agenda of the Democratic. That's what they try to spell.
Yeah, and, because that's what the lizard people want.
That's what.
And a lot of this is they're projecting self-loathing.
Yes, they are. Yeah,
absolutely.
That's exactly what they do. Yes.
I will buy into that horse shit about liberals eating babies the very instant that the company who makes it comes out with a shake and bake for babies.
Yeah, shake and bake
on the
grid.
Yeah.
And I hailed. And I hailed.
It's not fried, Daddy. It's shake and bake.
It's shake and bake. And
what are we having? Baby. Baby what? Baby.
Just baby. That's it.
Say baby.
Yeah, meanwhile, you know, the story I had yesterday, the three-year-old that blew away her 33-year-old mama because a gun was just left laying out where baby could get it. You know, I'd say children and adults are a lot more at a lot greater risk from Republicans and maggots than they ever will be from the LGBTQQIA plus community, or any Democrat for that matter. And I had a note. From Lady B telling me to convey this to Nidia. So if you're still listening, porn and jokes about female anatomy is how most American males learn about sex. It's a rite of passage. Unfortunately, we don't teach about sex in schools, and many in the patriarchy have a hard time showing respect to women. Incel males see us as both weak and strong. We have to cover our heads to our ankles because God says the woman is being too sexual. She's the aggressor. Such is our life. When we were kids, us sisters would sneak our friends into our older brothers' rooms and show them the posters of naked women on the walls. That's what we thought of when we thought of sex. Honey, this is how many people raise their boys and young men. I can't say it's right or wrong, but we got to do better. Not much we can do except work to change the new generation. Boys got to scratch their itch somewhere. Knowledge about sex, consent, and unashamed access to birth control would make the experience better for both involved. And, you know, while we're at it, just because, you know, this is an NSFW program anyway, because I drop F-bombs like, well, never mind. Like the leaves of autumn. But the fact that, you know, the other thing we can do is destigmatize masturbation. Enough with the you'll go blind and you'll grow hair on your palms. If it didn't work, it wouldn't be there to do. But Lady B's absolutely right, and so is Nydia. We would be far better off teaching human sexuality in the schools than letting young boys get their sexual education, you know, the way the church wants them to, you know, through porn.
I mean, that's another thing of the Republicans is, like, they're afraid to confront things. Their whole strategy is always, like, bury your hand in the sand, you know, like, pretend sex doesn't happen or only evil people do it or something like that.
Yeah, or, you know, don't you do it unless you're making a baby for the church.
I'm going to hell.
Yeah, well, exactly.
You know, the porn thing has been a problem for a long time for a lot of people, I would imagine. When I was young, we didn't have it. I remember I'm old now, but we started out with the Sears catalog. Oh, look at there. A bra. I know what's in that bra. Mm-hmm. It was the imagination that goes.
It was a little different. It was a little different for me, but I'm not trying to get all, you know. I thought it was like, why can't that be me? But I was thinking about Lady B earlier about whether I would even bring this story to the program. And because I thought about Lady B and the rules, you know, save your relatability for your friends. Well, you are my friends. You're my family. You are my, you're my community, and I hope I'm part of yours.
I don't have to be transgender to have empathy for what you have to go through, Robin.
No.
I mean, no, since you brought up the Sears catalog, I was probably a strange kid. Instead of looking at the underwear.
We all know you were.
I'm looking at the guys in the menswear section. Why are these guys always looking at their watch in the Sears catalog? What the hell?
Checking to see what time the lady over in the lingerie section gets off.
Can I put my clothes on yet? Can I put my clothes on yet? I'm feeling a little vulnerable here.
I think answer to media's response is, you know, the other day, I made a comment on Facebook the other day about the journey of life and how sometimes you really have to dig deep to get through the fucking shit that's thrown at you every day. And you have no other choice, but as I always say, you either adapt, overcome, and you move forward. You don't have any other fucking choice in life except to do those three things. You adapt, you overcome, and you move forward. And sometimes it takes a long fucking time to do. I'm sorry, I just got emotional and forgot where I was going with that.
Fuck. It's been known to happen. You're good. You're good.
It's a profound statement, and it's appreciated.
It is what I answered this. Somebody asked me, well, where do you know where I'm going? Where are you going? What's your direction, John? Where's your destination? How do you know what your destination is? And I answered that for me, the destination is a long gone memory, baby. I'm never going to reach that. It doesn't exist anymore. But for me, it's the journey along the way now. I have two sons, one in their 20s and one that just hit 30. I like to think that I have instilled integrity in them.
You got good boys.
I got good boys. And it starts with us in the family every day that we try to instill what we can in our children, what we can in our community. And for that matter, right here on Robin's show, y'all come on here and you pour your hearts out sometimes. And it's devastating. It's heartbreaking. But that's life, baby. And we have to adapt. We have to overcome this shit, and we have to move forward because that's how we became. That's how we became a society that now we have an acceptance of gay marriage in this country, although it's under attack, I'm sure, and they're going to try to go for that too. But we have progressed, and if we stop adapting, overcoming, and moving forward, then we don't make that progress. So we have to overcome these prejudices, these bigots, these assholes in the parking lots. We have to move past them and keep working for a better society for all of us. It's how we got here. And that's my cat down there, who has three kittens. So now I have. Uh-huh.
You have four cats.
Up. Oh, kiss my ass. You want four?
No. That's fine. We've
17 out on the front porch, we'll pack them up today.
We've got our four as it is. In fact, Socrates just bullied the door open a little bit ago, and I had to take him out.
My problem is I'm sitting here at the show. The three kittens are living in my office in here, and I'm sitting here in my shorts because they can only see me from the waist up anyway, and I'll be sitting here, and all of a sudden, one of them little kittens thinks my leg is a scratching post and jumps halfway up my leg. Isn't that fun? It's just exciting, you know.
Hey, John.
Pure entertainment for the.
You were on the subject of roads, and I want to give you a musical suggestion. Go onto YouTube and put in George Harrison, Any Road.
Any Road?
Any George Road. Harrison. It's a song from the album of the same name, which was the last CD album that he put out before he died. I think you'll get a lot out of the message of that song.
I don't know if I've heard it or not. I'm old, so I probably have, but I've just forgotten it. But I'll check it out. Any Road.
Any Road. Yeah, the whole album's good, but that song in particular had resonance when I first heard it 20-some years ago.
Yeah. I'll look it up, Scott. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Long as his dedication going out to John.
Every one of us is on the road, baby. And the road is not always smooth. Sometimes, man, you get that little spot in the road where, hell, it's nice. Shit, there's trees going by. It looks real good. No potholes. And then, bam, all of a sudden, the whole front end of your car is all fucked up. You done hit rough roads.
Yeah.
It's going to be like that. It's going to be like that.
Especially where we are now, it has to be.
Where are we at? Are we down? Are we under $1,000 yet?
Oh, sorry. No. We're at Kevin and Tracy got us down to $1,560. So yeah, that's wonderful.
Well, in the after hours, y'all kick in, baby.
I hope the overnight crew and the podcast crew will.
There you go.
It's nice when I don't have to just
have faith.
Constantly. Yeah. But no, I mean, if you're not Elon Musk,
and I'm not,
you're gonna run into problems that can be solved by money and only money. And you know, it's always the people who have it who go, well, you know, money can't buy happiness. Bite me.
Yeah. Yeah, I got something you can bite. Yeah.
And by the way, I had a note from Billable Rick. Subject line, another set of aging rock stars survived Billable's attendance at the Hollywood Bowl.
Uh-oh.
Well, the watch is on now.
Bags, Rick. Come on, man.
Hey, y'all, I'm writing because the Skype connection on my smartphone isn't working well. Anyway, I wanted to give the community a brief update. I attended the Kenny Loggins with Jim Messina sitting-in concert last night at the Hollywood Bowl with my good friend Kyle. It was billed as a 50th anniversary mini tour for the two artists. They're both about 74. This concert was postponed from late July because one of the performers contracted COVID-19, pushing the show to late September. I had the best seats ever at the bowl. Seats in a private box, center left of the stage with a great view of the show. Star would have attended the show, but she works on Thursdays. For the first 50 minutes, Kenny and Jim played their hit songs from the 70s, such as House on Pooh Corner, Your Mama Don't Dance, Vivala, Danny's Song, and Angry Eyes. They both sounded great and had excellent musicianship, although Kenny sounded a bit more Hale. Then there was a break of about 25 minutes to set up the new stage for Kenny's solo performance, lasting another 90 minutes, when he played his hits from the 70s, 80s, and beyond, including Whenever You Call Me Friend, Heart to Heart. Michael McDonald wasn't there to sing his part, but the performer who sung his part sounded just like McDonald. Celebrate Me Home, This Is It, I'm All Right. A song from Top Gun Maverick, Playing with the Boys, with an encore of Danger Zone, Footloose, and Forever. All in all, this was an excellent concert and Kyle's first trip to the bowl, and I'm pleased to report that Kenny and Jim are still alive to play their next show tomorrow night at the bowl. Well, we will, we will hope for the best, Rick. You know,
I not only carry bags, Rick. I'll fetch your drinks, buddy. You don't be wasting your time going up to get a drink. Just go get me a drink. Yeah. I'll run and go get you
a drink. And, you know,
just enjoy. Everybody.
Yeah, just enjoy the show with your personal concierge, John Briteveau.
That's right.
Yeah.
No bag carrying, no go digging. I bet you sat there the whole time holding a drink in your hand, too. Hey, so you don't want to have to be doing that. Yeah, just hand it to me. I'll stand there right there with you. I'll hold it for you.
Because you're just that kind of guy.
I offer many services, Rick. I love that guy's life.
Yeah, it is. It pretty sweet. Pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Well, y'all, we have run over. I presume the back porch will continue after the program is no longer live. And if anybody can help us get down to keep knocking this down. Thank you so much if you can. It's just gotten really, really difficult of late. And
I mean, money isn't important unless you don't have any.
Bingo. And then suddenly the real power kind of shows up. And, oh, dear God, the power bill's due. Yeah.
$2 to $200, it doesn't matter, baby.
I've got about, let's see, what is it? I've got more bills due right now than the fundraising goal is. So that says something.
And the same old grind starts again on Monday.
Right, and let's see. Let me look at the calendar real quick. Don't look.
Don't look. Yeah. It's just going to upset you.
Yeah, next Friday closes out the month of September. October the 1st is a week from tomorrow. And wow. Yeah.
I'm not there on my end either, Robin.
I know.
It's rough right now, baby. Times are tough for everybody. Inflation's high. Gas is, you know, it's come down, but it's still expensive. Everything's fucking expensive.
Yeah, and our corporate overlords are determined that we cannot have any money, anything that jingles in our pockets, because they will turn us upside down and shake it out.
That's right. So don't be making no noise. Wrap your shit in cotton so they can't hear it.
Yeah, right. Jude notes as we close, we move forward as a community to sustain itself, yet the reality of when one offers to engage on a more personal level, emails, phone, and spiritual breath, pick one and be present. It's been an interesting Friday on the front porch. Thank you, Jude. Thank you, dear. And thank you to all of our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. We always need new subscribers if you can. You know, $10 a month, that's 1.5 Starbucks to be a subscriber and help keep this on the air. I hate talking about this.
I think you're worth the Starbucks. I ain't never been to Starbucks, but I bet you're worth more than Starbucks.
I'd like to think so.
I'd like to think so, too.
And thank you to our a la carte contributors this evening and every evening. Thank you to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this program in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Sparky. Thank you, Steve. I trust you didn't have to use the sledge of power and might on the brain this evening. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, brand new fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for the human, environmental and human rights. And now a proud union shop for Lowe these 9 months or so now. Please stay safe. Get your booster, wear your mask, because especially if you live in maggot country, wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer, keep your social distance 15 to 20 feet, like Paul from Parts Unknown says. And, you know, if somebody comes toward you, and they got little beady piggy eyes, and they go, "What the fuck is wrong with you?" Avoid that person like the plague, because he is. always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.